I love them all. Jay's the least cute, I gotta be honest. Hello, quarantinis. Welcome to Sports, the podcast that ends with the question mark. It starts with the question. I'm Katie Nolan. She's Ashley.
Hi.
He's Jay.
Hello.
And this is today's question.
Hi, Katie, Ashley, and Jay. This is Sam from Austin, Texas. Longtime listener, first time in a cage. All this quarantine and self-isolation has got me thinking about some weird stuff, and I just wanted to know, what is something y'all can do better with your non-dominant side? So for me, I'm right side dominant, but my left hand is better at driving a car and using nail clippers. Let me know what weird talents y'all can do with your non-dominant side. Love you so much. Mean it. Bye.
I love you, and I also mean it. That was cute. Said he loved what we did with the place. Some of us are in new places. Jay?
Yeah. Hey.
Hi.
No knives.
Look, no. Mom. What's in that picture knives. Behind you?
That's the Bay in Virginia,
Same.
Where I am.
That's the Bay in life.
That's the Bay in life.
All right. So the question was, what is something you're better at with your non-dominant hand? I don't think anything. That's the point, is it not? I'm better at everything with this hand. I'm getting better now at doing painting my nails with my left hand because I've been doing it for so long. Mm-hmm. But like, this hand is useless.
I think mine, this doesn't really count, but I am right-handed, but I prefer to wear a watch on my right hand, which most people who are right-handed wear a watch on their left hand.
Yeah.
And I'm also goofy with like skateboarding and snowboarding. So like most people who are right-handed prefer their left foot in the front and their right foot in the back.
Mm-hmm.
But
because you're using your right foot.
Tell us about your skateboarding career.
First of all, yes. But so you're saying the answer then would just be skateboarding. You're better at skateboarding with your non-dominant side.
Because when you use skateboarding and snowboarding, let's not limit it to just that. But yeah, probably surfing too if I did that ever.
You find a way to make a very easy question as complicated as possible.
Yes,
I do.
Yeah,
you do that better with your left hand as well.
For sure.
So how much skateboarding are you doing? Is it a longboard, shortboard? Tell me
more. It's not that much. I had a friend to go back to the beginning, the first time I tried snowboarding, I was horrendous at it, like so bad at it. I threw a temper tantrum. I couldn't do it. Well, but I'm, fairly athletic. And so not being able to do it was like really frustrating for me. And then a couple months later, I was with a friend in college who was big into skateboarding, and he was like trying to show me how to do it. And again, I was just so awkward. And he was like, hold on one second, just stand there for a second. And then he went behind me and pushed me.
Oh boy. Oh.
And I like stepped forward. It's like how you can gauge what foot you prefer to be in the front. And he's like, oh, you're goofy. Like try standing on it this way. And I stood the other way.
Are you a cow or a dog? We've been wondering.
And everything felt so much better. So that's why I think I was bad at snowboarding that time. That one time I tried it.
Probably. It could have been a number of things. It being hard and difficult.
No, I'd probably be like
good at everything on your first try.
Like an Olympic medalist at this point, if I'd known. Sure. I think so.
What about you, Jay? Right. What are you good at with your non-dominant? Are you a left-handed person?
I'm right-handed. The only thing that I could think of during this is my friend Johnny and I play this game called Buffalo, where if either of us ever catch the other person drinking an alcoholic drink with their right hand, and the person calls Buffalo, you have to finish your drink.
And this is a game. This isn't like you sit down and play Buffalo.
This is like an ongoing, always.
So safety doorknob.
Yeah. So effectively, like, I don't know where he learned this game, but he brought it up when we were like 21, 22 years old, and we've been playing it ever since
drink.
Then.
Couldn't have been at 19.
That's
never
what I said.
Before
that's cops that's when it watching. Started. And
don't look at the label. I want some of this drink.
And so then, ever since then, like, I have this sixth sense when I'm around John just to never drink a beer out of my right hand because I know that he'll call Buffalo on me and I know I'll have to finish it.
So you're better drinking with your left hand.
Yeah.
Again, short answer to the question, drinking. Drink with my left hand, Buffalo.
Yeah, well, you know.
I don't. Backstory. I genuinely don't think I'm better at anything with my left hand.
What about video games, steering or something? Trigger.
Well, that's just learned behavior, though, right?
Well, yeah,
it still work.
I mean, when I played softball, I was gonna say when I was a person who moved, I bet lead off, and I could switch. Like I could like drag bunt, so you'd, cause you're closer to first base on the other side of the plate. So you would like do a drag bunt and you could start running while you're also still hitting. Like I could do that, but it wasn't like, I couldn't swing the bat lefty. Mm. It's not, again, it's like a learned skill. It wasn't like a thing I'm just good at doing with my left hand.
Man,
my left
switch hand hitters like are shaky. It's and like switch hitters in major
nuts.
Leagues.
It's nuts.
It's so insane.
How in the world?
Like, I mean, not only
I mean,
are you like
enough practice, you could do it, but
I mean, still though, like you're facing the best pitchers in the world, and you're like, yeah, I'm going to do this with my other hand.
Yeah, like
crazy.
Oh, sure, okay, not good enough on just one side. You're going to do both. It's wild, southpaw. Okay, so that's the answer to your question. If you also want to ask us anything, you can always
leave us a voicemail.
I hate it.
What?
Shoot, I gotta open the doc to see the number. 860.
Oh!
506-5571. I don't know. 860-506-5571. Hi, Ash.
Hi! Oh.
Cage closed. It's a cold cage.
Or open.
Hi, guys.
How you doing?
Unclear. Hey.
Okay, hi. Hello. What's, how's everybody's quarantine going? Here we are, week 3? Right?
Yeah. Or 10,000. Who knows what week it is, really.
Honestly. You know, it's still March right now.
It's insane. It's the longest month. It's madness, one could say.
Wow. I like that. Hold on. I want to do what you're doing.
You guys going to...
I just don't want anybody to know what
see,
it is.
See, I'm going
to
use my left
Can
hand.
You tell?
Because...
Is that alcohol, Jay?
No, it's a Come seltzer, on. But it's just learned, you know.
Guys, how's your quarantine going? What are we doing? What are we watching? What are we feeling? What are we reading?
I finished Tiger King.
Okay.
Man. Whew. What a story.
You know what? I'm at the point where I'm like, I get it. There's nothing to watch. So we all talked about Tiger King. But like, I think we've exhausted it.
Yeah, I
Good
agree.
Doc. Interesting.
I got to it later than everyone else. And so yeah. then like when the other thing about Tiger King for me was that it kind of fizzled. And so like... I'd like in the middle of it, that's when I think everybody on the internet was hyped. Like episode 3, episode 4, it's like, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. Then by the time you get to 7, you're like, okay.
Yeah, I get it. It almost like desensitizes you by like banging you over the head with crazy for the whole beginning.
Yeah.
And it's like, and they're so crazy. And you're like, yeah, but at this point, nothing shocks me.
Right. Totally.
Ash, what are you watching? Anything yet?
No.
Wow. We've been locked in our houses for 3 weeks.
I know.
And you haven't watched anything.
It's been, I watched Tom Segura's stand-up
special.
Yeah. An
How
hour.
Was it?
It was really good. It's really very funny. I'm having a really hard time, so I don't want to necessarily get into it too much to bring the mood down.
Okay. But can if you want to.
It's really, 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 really hard. And it's like you feel this. There are so many people out there who have it so much worse, you know, that you're like, you're like, okay, well, it's really not that bad compared to all those people. And then you feel bad for feeling bad. And then the next thing you know, like you're trying to do a podcast and you sit on Loki and his foot goes somewhere that it shouldn't go, you know?
Whoa. I don't think.
Hey,
all right. That seemed like it was very relatable right until that last part was very specific.
I'm on my bed right now. These are also on my bed.
You're sleeping with all of the Avengers?
Hold on.
Wow.
Hold on, there's one more.
Oh, my. Of
this
course.
Is my bed.
Wow. Ashley, comfortable. That's really something.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's fun.
Cool. Well.
That's great.
I did a lot of stress baking. I finished my Game of Thrones puzzle. That was awesome, and I felt very proud. I did a lot of stress baking over the weekend, which was great. I forgot.
What did you stress bake?
How good naughty food is. I made
she
a devil's food cake.
She went to the gym a lot when she was stressed. She was like, I'm stress baking. But,
No. I made a chocolate chip devil's food cake with a peanut butter chocolate ganache. And then I made
that sounds delicious.
A chocolate chip banana bread. Yeah, they're both really good.
I didn't even make the break and bake cookies I have in my fridge yet. You like
Ooh, you should. Those are delicious.
Yeah. I used to be into that, you know, when I had time.
Yeah.
So it was really nice. And now I get to eat like chocolate cake every night before bed, which makes me feel great. I like
As
that.
As it should.
Yeah.
Every person on the internet is baking bread.
Yeah.
And I can't figure out how to like deal with this.
I gotta be honest, Jay. I kind of felt like you'd be one of those guys making your own sourdough.
Yeah. I was like, don't turn on these people. These are your people.
Do you just not have the ingredients? Like, what?
Are you ready for me to trump this? Are you ready for me to trump that moment?
Well,
I'm not really into gluten.
Oh my God.
There it is.
I'm sorry.
What does that even mean?
It means he doesn't eat a lot of bread. I was going to say, did you leave your knives back home? Because we don't see your knives anymore. Jay, you're frozen as hell.
Shit.
For me, at least. Is Jay frozen for you?
Yeah, but at least he's smiling.
He's frozen in this weird position. Hey, there he is. Hi.
That was fun.
What happened?
I don't know. Did you go to a different timeline?
It froze. It must have been... Something weird happened. I don't know. We'll see.
The computer was like, screw your stance on gluten. And just
probably. That's what it was.
You got kicked out of the cage. You hear that? That's the cage closing behind you.
Yeah. Oh, it must be that. There it is. I hear it now.
One thing that did give me life was a little FaceTime I did with my good friend, K. Beth Nolan, where I got to see a little pop in your apartment.
Well, I just want to say, Ash, the way you're feeling, I think a lot of people are feeling. And try not to make yourself feel bad that other people have it worse, because obviously other people have it worse. Everybody out there, Ashley included, it's okay to just have days where you're like, no, I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. This is very taxing. And like, it's very tough to feel like you have to just do your job the way you always did, but nothing else is like it always was. And so it's just like a lot. It's a lot of stress.
Yeah.
Don't be so hard on yourself. I happen to know Ashley tends to be very hard on herself.
No.
So this message is directed to her, but it's also everybody out there. Like, there are days where I'm like, I can't, especially if you turn the news on, you're just like, not today. I can't do this today. And I imagine having a kid and little ones and stuff, it's just a lot of stress. So be kind to yourself. But
that's why I made the chocolate cake.
And that's why I included a dog in a FaceTime with you. So I don't know if you guys saw, but our friend Kelly, whose wedding Ashley and I went to, she is fostering. I think I talked about it on Always Late. I'm getting confused because I'm sitting in the same spot every time I do all these things for ESPN. I'm like, I don't remember which show that was on. But she's fostering puppies, and she got three. And I was like, let me have one. She was like, that's not how it works. They have to stay together because they're 8 weeks. And she sent me a picture of six puppies. And she was like, three of these are coming home with me. And so I turned to my boyfriend and I was like, pick a dog.
You do that on camera is even better.
I hate it. I said, pick one of these dogs. Don't tell me which one you pick. I'll pick one. I'm not going to tell you which one I pick. If we picked the same one and that's one of the dogs that comes home with Kelly, then I think we should seriously consider adopting a dog. It just feels like, it was dumb quarantine.
It's enough.
Quarantine logic.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, look, we picked the same dog. Like, whatever. So we did. We picked the same dog. And that dog came home with Kelly. And she named the three dogs, Katie, Ashley, and Jay. And the dog we picked, she named Katie.
Wow.
So I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
So she was texting me about them. She lives a couple blocks from me, and so she texted me on whatever day that was, because what are days? And said, she's like, we're walking by your house right now if you want to come to your balcony and look out. I'm not bragging. It's a Juliet balcony. You literally can't step out of it. It's just a railing in front of a door. So I go out, and I, like, look down. I see her carrying this pup in a bag because she doesn't have her shots yet, so she can't walk on the ground. And I was like, oh my gosh, you're so cute. And then she left. And then she texted me later that day and was like, you know, I just fed them. And do you want to take her for a couple hours and I can come get her before dinner? And I was like, okay. And so she brought her over. We had to deal with the complicated situation of, like, I didn't want to call this dog Katie. that's my name.
It is.
But
yeah.
She came from the shelter with the name Edna. And so I don't like that name, but I also was trying to be conscious of like this dog's well-being, that it went from being Edna to Katie to then if we gave it a third name might really make it feel like, who am I, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we called her Edna, but we also came up with what her name would be if we don't have to get into any of this. Anyway, let me just show you the dog. That's what you're waiting for, right?
Yeah.
So
she stayed with us all day. She just took tons of naps. She was so chill. She peed on her pee pad, which was fantastic. She pooped right next to it, just like right next to it, but not on a carpet. So that's fine.
That's what some would call a half.
Kelly keeps sending me pictures of Jay, Ashley, and Katie, and Jay and Ashley are always like going at it, and Katie now is just separate.
That sounds right. I get
like,
that.
Aww, she's so friggin' cute.
She's really cute.
Send me those, Katie. I'll put them up on the screen for everybody to see when we make this a video.
Oh my goodness,
that's she's so cute. God, she's so cute. Explain what kind of dog.
So I was told that this is a retriever something
lab?
Mix.
Lab?
No, a lab is a Labrador retriever. It's a retriever mix.
Okay. So bigger.
So I've been told that they are retriever collie mixes.
Ooh.
I don't think that's what this dog is. It doesn't look anything like that. But I mean,
I'm dead.
I think it looks just like that. That's
a
what collie
looks.
Yeah.
So cute.
Like a little border collie?
I don't know, but look at Katie.
Yeah, but like the hair is short hair like a retriever. It's so cute. Oh my
it's
God.
It's so cute.
I love what Kelly wrote. She was like, well, they do live in a cage.
And she said, like, Katie and Ashley are thick as thieves, and Jay is also there.
Yeah, that's about right.
This is, oh my God. This is her asleep on my couch. In the little nook of my it was the cutest.
That's a really cute pup.
Oh my God, I can't handle it. So anyway, long story short, we applied to adopt her. It still might not work out. You know, it's apparently the shelter is first come, first serve, and the person fostering the dog gets a say, but not the final say. So they can't just be like, give it to her. And look, since the dog came here because I want her to come back, I've like cleaned my house, not like puppy proofing it, but like kind of, because right now I've just lived with myself. So like I have wires out and stuff. I'm like tucking those in and like making sure that it's safe for her. I keep my shoes and like the ones I wear a lot in a big pile in my living room. She went right after those. So now those are being put away. Like it was good because I'm getting this place ready for a dog. And then if I don't get her, then, you know, we tried. And then, you know, I'm one step closer to getting one. But man, just having her around
was nice.
Was really nice.
Pretty great.
She was, the best. She was snuggly and sleepy. She wasn't crazy. I don't know, man. I'm in love with the dog. So
that's awesome.
Fingers crossed. I saw a lot of people in my Instagram DMs being like, you're going to tell us if you got it. And it's like, I'm nervous. You know, the whole thing makes me nervous.
Yeah,
if we get her, if we don't get her. Because like my boyfriend is living with me right now because we're quarantined. But he's not going to be once this ends. So it's like, and his schedule's very not conducive to a dog. And then mine sometimes is and sometimes isn't, depending on if we're traveling or not. So there's just a lot to figure out. But, you know, you meet a dog, you fall in love. It's tough to just be like, no.
Yep.
And I know that we'll love her and, you know, we'll do whatever we have to do to take the best care of her. So I don't know. I met a dog and I think she's great. More importantly, what I've been doing in quarantine, started watching disaster movies, but like New York disaster. Basically, we're watching Roland Emmerich films. So you forget. I mean, Independence Day was his big hit, but he did a bunch of others. Roland Emmerich hates Earth. Every movie he has is about like, well, here's how Earth's going to stop being Earth.
Oh, man.
He specifically hates New York City. So he did 1998 Godzilla, the one with Matthew Broderick. Which I have, we got to talk about. I'm going to get to that in a second.
Matthew Broderick Godzilla.
It is just a poor choice that does
what
not. You're like, maybe this will work out. And then you watch it and you're like,
nope,
it went exactly how I thought it would. He brings rom-com energy to the entire thing. He's being like, well, what? And you're like, Matthew Broderick, this is the world ending. So he did the 98 Godzilla. Yesterday we watched The Day After Tomorrow.
Yeah,
garbage. That was pretty good. Jake Gyllenhaal and the chick from Shameless.
You're awesome.
And you're awesome. And then tonight we're watching 2012. Another weird casting, John Cusack as the lead in an end of the world movie, which came out in 2009. I would have guessed it came. I thought it came out in 2012. I thought it was like, you know.
Oh, that would have been smart. That would have been good viral marketing.
Yeah, but putting it out in 2009 is like, you got 3 years to get your shit together. It doesn't make any sense.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, 1998 Godzilla. Did either of you see it?
No.
If I did, it was in 1998.
Also, this is a hallmark of Roland Emmerich movies, is you've seen them, but you remember nothing about them.
Yeah,
halfway through, right. I went, oh, I have seen this movie, which is like a terrible review of a film. but it was mostly famous for that P. Diddy version of that song.
Oh, the song. Okay. Yeah.
Sampled the da-na-na.
Yeah.
Da-na-na.
Yeah.
Cashmere.
Yeah.
Okay. Which we all I remembered loving that song.
Yeah.
And listened to it. And realized that I loved that song because I didn't know Kashmir before that song. And I just loved that part. Diddy is possibly the worst rapper of all time. That song, I encourage you all to go look it up. He's rapping. It doesn't fit. The words don't fit. But then the words that do fit are like, I was mad. It was sad. I'm feeling bad. And then there's a thing I had. And I'm in a bag. And you're like, what? I'm sorry. It's horrendous. It's worse than you remember. Also worse than you remember. And I don't, we'll talk about this on our Roland Emmerich podcast. But the lead character, the love interest to Matthew Broderick in 1998 Godzilla is the least redeemable character in all of movies. You know how sometimes they'll do a thing where they introduce this love interest, but they kind of show that she sucks. And then they slowly introduce this other woman that's like, that's the one he's supposed to go with. Like, it's very Teen Wolf boof. She's like the like friend, but you're like, and then they end up whatever. I thought that's what they were doing with this girl. That's how much she sucked. And then he ends up with her. It's wild. I know you guys haven't seen it, so it's not going to land that much, but basically she like deserted him and he's still in love with her like 8 years ago. He keeps pictures of her in his work thing, which That's made me weird. Think she was dead. I'm like, oh, he was married and she died. No, she just left him and didn't want to be with him. Then he's like, he's called in to help with Godzilla, which is like, he's peaking. It's the biggest moment of his life. He's a scientist and people give a shit about him right now. And the woman sees him on TV, shows up where he is and is like, hey. And he's like, hi. And then she's like, are you still mad? It's been 8 years. That's bad logic. Then she follows him to his tent. They hang out because he's being sweet because he's Matthew Broderick. He goes to the bathroom or something and she steals top secret shit and goes on the news and reads it and gives a report. He gets fired. And then she's like, are you mad? They end up together. It doesn't make sense. Not a movie. It's like the whole time my boyfriend and I were like there looking at each other like, this is not, they're not gonna, this couldn't possibly be. It's so bad. I encourage everybody who listens to this podcast to go watch 98 Godzilla and write a book report and send it to me about how bad it is. It's the worst movie. Also, Godzilla, they lose him in Manhattan. Multiple times. They're like, where is this gigantic dinosaur? Which also has very human dimensions. Like, a T-Rex, I know it's not a T-Rex, but like their arms, it's like a human lizard. I don't like, it's awful. Also, they find out that it's pregnant and they keep calling it a man because it's asexual. Like, can't we just give it, just call it a lady? Huh. Anyway, it's batshit. It is batshit. And all these Roland Emmerich movies are batshit in a way that makes you feel like, oh, everything's going to be okay. Because if a disaster can be this hilarious, then it can't be that bad.
That's beautiful. Right.
I feel like I just tired you guys with my – I got takes.
That was amazing.
I got takes. I got nowhere to put them. I'm going to start a Roland Emmerich disaster movie podcast.
That's incredible.
With my boyfriend. And it's going to go right to the top of the charts.
Nolan Emmerich. Nope, that's not the title. We'll find it.
Roland with Nolan.
And her boyfriend.
All right. Should we get into the podcast?
Yeah.
Why not? All right. So we are doing a bracket because it's, believe it or not, it is still March. And it's March Madness. Are we safe doing that? I'm just going to stick with it. Today's bracket is... I paused for the drum roll.
Yeah, I know, but I felt like you needed the is.
Okay. Today's bracket is...
That sounds bad.
Is that a clipboard?
No, I have one of those self like dinner trays.
Wait, are you podcasting from a TV dinner tray right now?
Oh my god! Do you have like the dinosaur shaped chicken nuggets?
Oh my god! Like the letters in the SpaghettiOs.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so comfortable now.
Curse words. Okay, so today's bracket is board games.
Yay. Woo! Yeah.
And board games, I think we kind of had to discover this when we were narrowing them down. It doesn't necessarily mean that there's a board. Like, I ruled out Jenga because I didn't feel like that counted.
No, yeah, that doesn't count.
But, like,
I think all these have
categories board. Doesn't have a board.
Right.
Does it not? Yeah, that's right.
No. It doesn't. But, like, it still is in that. And, like, Battleship isn't tech. I mean, it has a board, but it's not like a board game. You know what I mean? There's, like, some weird ones. But. Yeah. It's not going to be, like, we didn't use any card. There's no Uno because that's a card game. You know what I mean?
Right.
The line gets blurry, but look, we're doing our best. So we're going to do that. Are you guys excited?
Very. Yeah. I'm a little bit nervous. I think it's going to be really hard. Like, looking at the bracket, I was, like, projecting how I thought it was going to go, and I, like, got upset. Thinking about certain
matches. Wait, you thought that a bracket that we did was going to make people upset?
This sums Ashley up so perfectly that she's like, I'm so busy, I don't have enough time. I printed out the bracket and projected far ahead how long I think it's like, you poor thing. You put so much burden on yourself that you're like, I gotta do this bracket before I do this bracket.
Yeah.
It's gonna be hard. We're gonna get through it. You know why? Because I just got another picture of Katie, Ashley, and Jay.
So good.
I love them all. Jay's the least cute, I gotta be honest.
That's the one I
want. No, I feel like Ashley's the least cute.
No, Ashley is so cute.
Yeah,
wait, they're all really cute. Let's just be real.
Yeah, well, but if we have to do favorites. Anywho, so before we get to that, that is today's bracket. Before we get to that, today's podcast is brought to you by Echelon. So, Ashley, how would you like me to tell the people about Echelon?
You know, in those disaster movies that you've been watching, there's always that character that's like, this isn't going to affect me. I'm going to be fine. You guys are blowing this out of proportion. Can you tell us about Echelon as if you were the anti-apocalypse character?
Yes. Please. And you know what? I'm going to make her a New Yorker out of respect for my good friend Roland Emmerich. And I'm kind of channeling the lady who runs up to the roof and holds up the sign in Independence Day of like, come on, aliens!
Yeah.
God. A lot of that energy, just to give you guys my motivation.
Okay. What a winner.
To get fit in 2020, you don't have to join a gym or pay a ton for overpriced fitness equipment. They just want you to think that you do, but you don't. The best way to get in shape, the best shape of your life, is with Echelon. You go to echelonfit.com to discover their EX1 connected fitness bikes that offer a high-quality, at-home cycling experience at less than half the price of a Peloton, okay? They want you to think, the government wants you to think, that you got to get a Peloton and it's got to be expensive. Well, they're lying, conspiracy, and you all fell for it, you sheep. Echelon makes beautifully engineered products for everyone, busy moms, busy dads, first responders, elite athletes. Who else is there that covers everybody? Whatever your activity level, whether you're super fit or you're, you know, a slob, it doesn't make a difference because none of that matters. They just want you to think that it does. You're watching the news too much. And with daily live and on-demand studio classes right in your home, you'll never have to step foot in a gym, which is good because gyms are bad because they control the media. You'll love Echelon, but if you aren't 100,000% satisfied, they're going to give you your money back, which is good because it's your money. Join the hundreds of thousands of men and women who are getting fit with Echelon. Or don't do it just because other people are doing it, because that's how we end up in this mess. We're not in danger. Everything's fine. So if a bunch of men and women are getting Echelon, you better have a different reason to get it. And that reason is to save your money, okay? Don't just be a sheep. Don't pay a ton for Peloton. Buy an Echelon bike today for under $1,000. That's madness. Go to echelonfit.com/Nolan to learn about their limited time free Apple iPad and complete details of this exclusive offer. Echelon, it's your time, not end times. It is your time. We're going to be fine. That's echelonfit.com/Nolan. echelonfit.com/Nolan. I love aliens. All right, so let's kick off the board games bracket with our first matchup. Our first matchup is, oh my God, these are going to be so hard. First matchup, Checkers versus Candyland. All right. Wow. So we got an old school classic. I don't think chess made it to the bracket, right? So Checkers kind of represents checkers and chess, although I know they're not the same. It's kind of the same board. They're not at all. The board looks pretty similar.
The board is
in season one of The Wire. At one point, somebody confuses they're playing checkers on a chessboard, so they are kind of similar, not at all.
I'll concede the board.
A
combination
chess,
game set.
Checkers, backgammon game set.
Oh, so you could say that they do have a lot of stuff in common.
They've got things in common.
Conceded the board.
Mm-hmm. Anywho. Checkers, player wins by capturing all of the other player's pieces or putting them in a position where they can't move. Candyland, I don't remember how Candyland played.
Candyland, so I didn't either, and I looked it up. Candyland is
really
the dumbest game. Candyland, there's a bunch of cards. You pull a card, it has a color, and you move to the space that has that color. That's the whole game.
That's it?
There's more. There are a couple.
Sometimes there are two colors on the card.
Yeah, if there are two colors, that means you get to go like two orange spaces.
Oh my god!
Sometimes there's like the cards that have characters on them, like Queen Frostine and like Princess Lolly, and
you skip ahead to them.
And you get to go to where that is, but can also make you go backwards if you get the like licorice dude, Mr. Licorice. What was his name? Something licorice. I'm gonna look up.
You're doing great,
Lord Licorice.
Probably. Sure. That sounds right.
I'll take it.
And then
maybe I was thinking of Chutes and Ladders then.
Yeah, Chutes and Ladders is more fun than Candyland for sure. Candyland is a game for like Candyland is a game for children.
Wow, like, Ashley, you gonna take that?
Well, I mean he's
like young children.
There's no like math or strategy, it's all luck.
Sure, but what are the ages on it on the box, Jay? Can you look that up?
I would bet
Because I wonder if it actually is for children. I mean, a lot of these games are for children. They're just still fun. Mm-hmm.
Candyland is ages 3 to 5.
Oh, God. It stops at 5? It caps it at 5?
That's just rude.
Can we call an audible and replace it with Chutes and Ladders in the bracket?
One version says 3+.
Well, that's because they got the. That's what the liberal media wants you to think.
Yeah, that's what the lamestream.
What's the age range on Chutes and Ladders? Chutes and Ladders' fancy thing was that there were chutes and then also ladders, right? Or how did you
also 3 and up?
Depending on where you landed, you could either like go up and skip ahead, or you could get down.
So they're the same game.
Yes. Pretty much.
Okay, so it's Candyland versus Checkers. That's all right, Jay. You don't have to go deep studying. What's wrong? Why did you look so upset? I've never seen him while he Googles before. It's fascinating. Jay, you all right, bud?
Yeah, my thing froze again. But it sounds like it worked for you guys.
It's good. We're fine now. We were just talking about your Google face.
Uh-oh.
All right, so it's
and
Checkers.
What happened with me? Did it not make noise?
No, you froze a little bit, but you're also making... Anyway, Checkers versus Candyland. Say your pick on 3. 1, 2, 3. Checkers?
Checkers.
Candyland. Ooh.
I'm so bad at checkers.
I've never played. I actually don't know how to play checkers. I've admitted that. And people like look at me like I shouldn't say it out loud. It's just a game I never was taught. I'm not saying I don't know how to play it. I mean, I am saying that. I'm not saying I'd be bad at, like, I don't know how to, I just don't know the rules. Same thing with chess.
Chess is a lot more complicated than checkers.
Of course. Like, why they say you're recently. Playing chess and you're playing checkers. It's, you know, it exists for a reason.
I will say.
I played checkers pretty recently and it's still fun. It's like, it's not an advanced game in the sense that like you can only really do a couple of things, but compared to Candyland where it's like, hey, here's a color. Oh,
yeah. And they need cards to do that. Like the fact that Candyland has all this extra bells and whistles and all it does is basically get you to. I'm just saying like it's Candyland. Like checkers is just, you could make checkers out of anything. It's like a concept. It's like a game that's. Stood the test of time. You don't need the rules. You don't need a special deck of cards with colors on it. You just make a grid and put stuff on it.
Also, I gotta say, when you get your checker to the other side and you get to say king me, that feels good. And then you get to move backwards the other way. It's just like,
the phrase is like,
well, no, I don't, the phrase is chauvinistic and we should replace it with something better.
Oh, Jay, you're so woke.
But the feeling of like getting across the board and then getting like superpowers is super cool.
Superpowers.
You get to move backwards and forwards now and you have two checkers on top of each other.
Okay. I did also play recently since we got that board. And it was much better at it this time. And it's certainly a better game. It requires more strategy, but in terms of like nostalgia, it's Candyland is it, you know, like also Candyland, you can play with more than two people. It's, you don't have to think as much because it is just like, oh, here's this just straight game of luck and chance, depending the order of the cards.
Yeah, but that's, like, wouldn't that frustrate you that it's all luck?
The game is already decided before you even start, just based on the way that the cards are.
Yeah.
So there's not really even a game in theory.
Yeah, you're just kind of playing out a simulation.
You're just playing out a simulation.
I mean, but that's like, there's a lot of games like that, like War, the card game War, you know, like there's a lot of stuff. I'm just saying I'm fine with checkers moving on.
Okay.
I'm fine with it. But I just
feel like trying to think through
war. I guess there is no choice in war.
There isn't.
Well, that's why it's a game played by, that's like when you're kids and you don't want to play Go Fish anymore and you don't know how to play any other game. So you play War. It's just to keep your kids busy.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So, checkers moves on.
Yeah.
Goodbye to Candyland and Mr. Licorice or whatever.
Lord Licorice and King Candy. You really don't remember anything.
Licorice Von Trapp. We were
Mr. Licorice reminds me of Mr. Peanut Butter from Pokemon.
We didn't have Candyland in our house. I'll tell you what we did have. Risk versus Guess Who. These could not be more different. Unlike chess and checkers, these could not actually be more different. So Risk, I remember my dad always bought the games like Risk and Stratego? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, Stratego.
And we never touched them. They just collected all the dust because those were games that I think now if I tried them, I'd be interested in. But back then I was like, I don't understand how this works. So Risk is a board game where the board is like a map of the earth and it's got, it's like divided into territories and continents. And then you take a turn and you control an army and then you try to capture territories from other players, which it's like all figured out by rolling the dice and you can like make alliances and you can dissolve alliances. And then the goal is to occupy every territory on the board.
And sometimes it takes forever.
I mean, I can imagine it.
I remember playing games of Risk.
Civilization. Like you're playing a game that simulates civilization. Of course it's going to take a long time.
Yeah.
And that's it. Did I already say who that's going up against? Guess Who?
Yeah.
One of my favorite games as a kid. You get a board. It's not like a board game where you move your pieces. It's a board that's got images of 24 people on it and their names. And then you pick a card and it tells you like who the person, like the special person is. And then you've got to guess and try to rule out other people in order to try to narrow it down to find out who your other person's person is. Does that make sense?
No.
You ask, like, do they wear glasses? And you're like, no. And so then you can eliminate all the people that have glasses on because that's not going to be the guy. And you just try to narrow it down until you guess who the person is.
And you like have the little guys and you push them down when you feel like they're eliminated.
Oh, I'm forgetting that we're on video, but this isn't a video medium.
Yeah,
you have like a board that has these things that you can flip, that stand up and flip down. And they have the pictures of every person on them. Then there's a deck of cards with the people in them. You pull a person. That's the person you're describing for the game. And the other person's asking, like, do they have a mustache? Is it a man? Do they have glasses? And then you put down you so that the only people left standing. I think people know Guess Who. I don't think
everyone knows what
explaining it. You just said that it didn't make any sense, so I thought
Your description didn't make any sense.
It made enough sense if you knew the game.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so which one do we pick?
I have never played Risk. I distinctly remember over at like a Thanksgiving or something, my cousin like trying to get us to all play it. And they started to explain the rules.
And you fell asleep.
We were all just like vacantly staring at them like, what on earth are you talking about? And I still like, again, because I over prep, I Googled how to play Risk this afternoon and watched a video that was almost 6 minutes long and I couldn't even get through the whole thing. Cause it's like, then if you own this many, you get this many extra armies. And then this gets this many extra armies. And if you turn in these cards on the second time, you get two more armies. And if you do it on the first and you're
it
like,
feels like Dungeon and Dragons, it feels like Dungeon and Dragons, but for alphas or like Dungeons and Dragons, but less actual fun.
Oh, I was about to say this game is 100% my
I know, like but it doesn't seem like as it's not like at least Dungeons and Dragons is like fantasy. Obviously, that's not a board game, right? That's technically a card game, but like it's like this warlock and this wizard, who would win? And you use your whereas this one's like, well, and you've got to set up a government, and then you've got to decide: are we a democracy or an oligarchy? And that's going to depend on how many. Like it's such like history nerd.
Any game that like, if you didn't have the rules like printed out on in like a framed document next to you, like, how many extra armies do I get for this time? Because this country starts you with play it.
You play it, so you know, like, can you play it from memory or do you need to have
the rules? I haven't played Risk in a long time because
when you play
I used to know the rules. When we stopped playing Risk, my group of friends hasn't played in a long time, but we play Settlers of Catan, which is similar. And my favorite game, and I got mocked by even
we were naming board games. Like it was the first text was like, what if we did board games? And then someone was like, you know, Chutes and Ladders, Candyland, Settlers of Catan. And we were like, I'm sorry. What? I've heard of it. But if you asked me what it was, I might have said it's that app that Kate, what's her face, did an ad for during the Super Bowl a couple years ago.
That's funny.
Jason Verlander's Kate Upton. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Remember when she did that, whatever that app is, the game app?
Yeah, that's that like Siege, something, Combat Siege or World something. World
of War.
Yeah, that's not this.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Settlers of Catan, but I'm saying that I just don't know what it is.
So it's similar in that like there's a little map and you're trying to take, like build out your empire. I mean, it's not really an empire. In Settlers, you're just building cities and houses. It can get really contentious, which I think is fun because like it's about having resources. And if you don't have the right resources, then you can't win. And the people who do have them end up having them in spades. And it's just like, just gets really frustrating because you're like, your friend has all these sheep and you need sheep in order to win, but you can't get the sheep no matter what you do.
That just makes me think about like life. I think this all makes me feel like, if I dominate this country, I can win this game. But what it is basically going to destroy the economy and kill the workers of this other country because I need some sheep. Like, I would feel so guilty.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I'm not cutthroat enough for that game. Ashley, you would have a heart attack.
Certainly not, no.
But I bet if you challenged Ashley to it, she'd be like, fine.
I think if Ashley played 3 or 4 times, after 4 times, she'd want to play every day.
Crush.
Because it's isn't it like cricket?
Though, like, couldn't you play it every day just by playing one game? I feel like it doesn't end. It's so long.
Settlers is actually designed to be shorter, so it takes about an hour. Whereas Risk could play for 6 or 8 hours. Like there, people play have
just reading the rules.
I was reading about it. There are Risk games that take like days, and people will, like come back to it.
Who has the time? And then I was like,
everyone.
We all
have the time right now. Anyway, Risk is a good game. I don't
It's not even, but what you're saying it sounds like is it's not even the best type of, the best game.
It's not the best version of itself, in my opinion.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's what the podcast is, Jay. It's our opinions.
I know. I just, I don't want to.
And I never, I'm telling you, I'm telling you, this and Parcheesi just gathered dust in the closet.
Oh, I love Parcheesi too.
So like, never touched. We always moved them to get to the other. So I'm eliminating risk.
That's so funny. The two games that I brought with me to Virginia, I came down to my friend's house because I was done being alone. Settlers of Catan and Parcheesi.
Can you just tell me what Parcheesi is? Because I still don't know.
Parcheesi is sorry, but with a couple more rules that make it a little more interesting.
Well, that's interesting because we're going to get into, we'll get there. So Guess Who moves on, which I'm fine with. I didn't have Guess Who, but my friends did. And man, did I love playing it. But I bet if you had it, did either of you have it?
I think so.
Probably.
I bet if you had it.
I was going to say, I bet if you had it, you memorized the people and it got really.
Yeah.
The people,
it's kind of like a boring version of 20 questions.
Yeah, but it's also like, yeah, I get it. You're right.
Like, yeah, but
it's like Battleship, but different.
It's you're Battleship 20 down. Questions. You're yeah, like, you're does he have a hat?
Right.
It's A7.
Also, this just made me think of Dream Phone. Ashley, did you ever play Dream Phone?
I didn't, but I've seen that meme a lot.
Oh, I think Dream Phone is the one, because there were a couple. I had like Mall Madness, which was, oh my God.
Oh, Mall Madness.
For girls. It was like going shopping. I'm like, and then I had this Dream Phone. And then there was another one about something about boyfriends. But I think Dream Phone was the one where you were trying to figure out who the boy is that wanted to date you. And I can still remember the like drops, like the lines. You would die. You'd be like, okay, I think this is him. You'd call the number, and then the number would be like, he's not wearing a hat, or like he looks good in whatever he wears. Like, oh my God, it was so. Now that I think about it, it's infuriating. Of like, oh, the point of the game was to find a man to love you.
Wow,
very fitting. But yeah, I remember it. It was a lot like Guess Who, but there was also a lot. It was stupid. I'm going to buy a Dream Phone. Point is, I liked Guess Who. I remember playing.
It was a lot of fun.
On like gymnastics meets trip, like weekend trips. We would like sit in the airport and play Guess Who. So I think we moved on. Are we bad people if we move on Guess Who and we get rid of Risk? No, because we moved on Checkers over Candyland. We're bobbing and weaving. All right. The next one. Clue. Oh my God, we keep pairing up ones that have nothing to do with each other. Clue and Mousetrap.
Oh man.
Wow. Young Katie, I think Mousetrap was the first commercial campaign that worked on me.
Ooh. Yeah,
that was a great commercial.
The second.
I remember that commercial exactly.
And when I say worked on me, I mean it made me want it. It didn't get me the game. My parents did not buy me the game. But boy, did I want that game. The second commercial that worked on me, by the way, was for a McDonald's toy where you could make the French fries at home. It was like a toy
with like
Play-Doh. Oh yeah, you do the crank.
You would make French fries and you could make some other food. But here's the thing: this was how you made it. Take a piece of bread, cut off the crusts, put the bread into this toy. Roll the crank so it pushes it out, sliced into little fries, and then it says sprinkle them with cinnamon and sugar.
That's
so it just made cinnamon.
How
toast?
Are those? How are the not even toast, Jay? Because it was just a piece of white bread. It just made white bread covered in cinnamon and sugar. It was the weirdest.
That's and nobody was
like, that doesn't taste like a fry at all. There's
I
no
might make cinnamon toast later today.
Cinnamon toast,
I am
man.
Too. And like, I think it did make me discover that I love cinnamon toast, but those weren't McDonald's. How did they get away? Anyway, Mousetrap.
I remember that fry thing. Wow. That's crazy. I haven't thought about that in 27 years.
Mousetrap had a commercial that made it look like a board game, but it was also a, what's that thing called where you knock over?
Rube Goldberg.
Thank you. That's twice I've made you do that for me on this podcast. It looked so much fun. Oh, it says it right there in the doc. So you work together and you build this mouse trap and then you have to like trap a mouse. It's, you know, pretty straightforward. Whereas Clue, I feel like from what I know about Ashley, she must love Clue. But the object of Clue is to figure out.
Nodding vigorously.
Oh, yeah, okay. Because I'm
it's
looking.
It's not at an audio. It's a, not a visual medium.
Yeah. The point of the game is to figure out who did the murder, which is pretty dark. But you also have to find out where and like what weapon they used. So it's basically just like a mystery.
A murder mystery.
It did. I mean, it is a board game, but it has spawned into a bunch of different type. Like people have Clue parties and stuff, but you don't actually use like the board. What's the point of the board in Clue?
Because the board is how you go into the different rooms to see if people did stuff there.
Yeah, so you have like to you can only guess that it happened in the library if you're in the library. And so, like, if you want to guess that it happened in wherever, it takes a while to get, you know.
It's all coming back to me now. Clue was fun. Here's the thing about Mousetrap. Game sucked.
Yeah.
It sucked. Yeah. And of course
Constantly broke. Constantly broke.
Of course it did. It didn't make any sense that you'd have this cage that drops and it would stay being able to drop like that, even when you had to unpack it, put it back in the box. Mousetrap.
What?
Everybody wants. Exactly. Even that one doesn't work properly. It was like highest expectation, lowest reality. Mousetrap was a scam. It sucked. I hate it. So Clue moved on.
It was like those commercials, man.
The commercial was so good.
The commercial makes the game look so much better than it is. It's such a pain to put that board together.
Can we play it?
Maybe.
But you need the visuals.
Yeah, I think you can play it. I think you can share screen, can't you? Oh,
yeah, but we're not recording.
You're right. I keep forgetting because we're on. Okay.
Because we're just looking at each other.
So Clue moves on. We're all fine with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Okay.
Mousetrap was straight garbage.
It was awful. But man, did that commercial rule. Okay, this next one, I have so many hot takes on. The next matchup is Sorry versus Trouble.
Oh my goodness. This is the same game.
It's the same game. It is the same game. If you ask people, I actually did this as an experiment today. I asked my boyfriend what he liked, what his favorite board game was. And he said, Sorry. And I said, no, it's not. And he was like, yeah, I loved Sorry. And I said, no, I bet you loved Trouble. And he was like, what's Trouble? I'm like, it had the Pop-O-Matic in the middle. And he was like, oh yeah, that's the one I'm talking about.
Right.
Nobody, Sorry was just a version of Trouble.
Yeah.
Wow.
The Pop-O-Matic is the best part of it.
And the fact that you've got the little, and you've got the little pieces that stick into the holes so you could tell if somebody was cheating.
Oh, that's true. That's a great point.
They had to stick the peg into the hole. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm an idiot. And a while ago, I just bought a bunch of board games. This was years and years ago. Because I was like, oh, I'm buying an apartment. I should have board games in it. Weird logic. And I just ordered Sorry and Trouble. And then I was like, you dumb. You don't need both of these.
So they're both based on Parcheesi, which is the same game. You're trying to get a couple of guys, three or four guys, back to the home. But in Parcheesi, what's cool is if you hit them, if you hit someone else, you get 20 spaces more. And
20 is like, a lot.
Well, the board is a lot bigger.
Oh.
And there's just like a couple of other, and there's like a lot of house rules that are really fun. Like with my friends, if you get a guy home, you get 10 spaces for one of your guys. And just like, couple of added rules that make it a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, I was going to say house rules is the only thing that I find annoying about these games. We can get into that in the next round. But, like, there is confusion about, like, can you only move forward if it's the exact amount of – like, I know people who play it wrong. And I'm like, that's not right.
So I think –
but, again, we can get into that afterwards.
The one thing I will say in Sorry's defense is that they have the cards with instructions on, like, how I'm pretty sure they do. Cards. Jay, you're looking at me like they don't. That you pick up a card and it has like a number and it's either like, I think there are options of like, you can split between two things. You can go forwards or backwards. Am I misremembering that?
I'm digging through my storage room to see if I have
I think Sorry is just you roll and then you move your dude. And then if you can make a blockade.
You're assigning a gender to the pieces. And I just feel like I need to call you out on it.
Dude could be a man or a woman.
I know, but you said guys too, and then dude, and now it's just kind of like adding up, you know.
Sorry, I don't know your pieces. I think you just roll. Well,
5 seconds.
What is that game, Katie? Katie just found a game called 5 Second Rule, which we do not subscribe to anymore since this pandemic started.
It's a tag phrase. Just spit it out.
Oh no.
It's ages 10 and up. It should be a piece of cake to name three breeds of dogs.
Oh, that game's actually
do it under the pressure
with cards. It is with cards. I was right.
Wait, this is a different game. Oh, you Googled it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking.
What happens on the Sorry cards?
That's so how you get your instruction of where to move. And so there's a lot of like move forward too, or like move back, or like swap spots with another piece, or like split your
number. Pop-o-matic was better.
Yeah, the pop-o-matic's great. I'm just saying we have to acknowledge.
Remember that noise? How satisfying that was?
Yeah.
Oh, you were a two-hander.
Yeah.
I was a thumbs.
Thumbs? Wow. I have very small thumbs. So you wouldn't...
Audio medium.
Yeah. No, good. No.
All right, so are we all okay with trouble moving on?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm good with that. That pop-o-matic was, it did rule.
It did. All right, next matchup, Scrabble versus Scattergories. All right, so Scrabble, some of you may know it as Words with Friends. you could play
Words with Friends, except you can't play those stupid two-letter words that everybody plays to win.
You can. I think QI is a Scrabble word.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, yeah, but like, what, we don't have to get into it.
I still have no idea what it means. I just know it's a Scrabble word. It's also, if you're a crossword.
I think it's the word chi, like you're chi.
I thought that was C-H-I.
I think it's the alternate spelling for chi.
Huh. It's also like if you do crosswords, you just have like a bank of words. You're like, I've never used these in real life, but I know what they mean in crossword context. It's like, totally. I know that this is a word for Scrabble, but I don't really ever use it or care. So Scrabble is 2 to 4 players. You get tiles and you got to put them on the grid, and you can get triple word score, triple letter score, all that stuff. And you try to get the most points. Scattergories, is you have a dice. It has a die that has 26 sides and there's a letter of the alphabet on each. You roll it. So you pick a letter. So let's say you roll it and you get F, and then you have to name in each category a thing. So it's like, you know, movies, and you have to name a movie that starts with F, or like types of cheese. You have to write a type of cheese, and then you all read off your answers. And if you said something that somebody else said, I think you either lose a point or you don't get a point. Or if you say something wrong, you don't get a point. But if you say something that no one else said, you get points for that.
Yeah.
Right? I do that right?
Yes.
Yeah. It's more complicated than I remember it.
Yeah. I loved Scattergories. That was my favorite game as a kid.
Mm.
I loved it. And I still remember, I have like vivid memories of really funny moments in my family that came from playing Scattergories, where like me and my brother would pick the most random movie neither of us had ever seen and like use that as a, like, you know, for a letter, because your brain's just like, I don't know, a movie that starts with F.
It's
really fun. I really, really loved that game a lot.
Huh.
Scrabble, I loved Words with Friends. These are like two of my favorite games.
Oh no, that's a tough first round matchup.
What's everybody else's thought on these things?
I didn't play Scattergories that often, but I think it's really fun, and I think it would be really fun to play now. Yeah. I think Scrabble is really fun if you're playing against people of like kind of the same skill level as you.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're playing
against, get out of hand quickly.
Yeah. Like if you're playing with people who aren't as good, they just get really frustrated and it's like not as fun. Yeah.
Right. But if you're playing with someone who's too good, then you're like, this isn't fun.
Yeah. Like, come on. Yeah.
There's like my weight classes. Lindsay, who, you should have weight classes.
Yes.
The best person I ever played Scrabble against told me one time, she was like, I don't play for me to win. I play for the best combined score. And I thought that was a really cool approach to like playing Scrabble. And it made me think about playing Scrabble differently when ever since then,
combined,
because it's like
score, like the person,
like the two of us should have the highest score as possible, as opposed to like me having 400 and you having 100.
But then wouldn't she get mad at you if you made a move that she's like, that's not how you should have done that?
No, I mean, maybe if I did something that was really bad, but I think it's more that like in general, the philosophy is like, you're trying to make the best biggest, overall game.
That's a completely different game.
Yeah, but also I'm telling you, the thing that I think would be the most frustrating is that like you're working together, but you're not allowed to help them.
Yeah, well, I think that you're still playing to win in theory. It's just that like you're working at this, you're looking at this like board that. As like this is an opportunity for us to.
We're both shaking our heads. Audio medium. We
just remember this is a tangent. Do you remember the game Upwards? It was like a version of Scrabble where you could put letters on top of the tiles and like could build different.
I vaguely remember too, like an ad campaign, but I don't think I had it.
Oh, we would play that at my grandparents' house as like a cousin of Scrabble, and it was like
you can hear it in all of our voices. But, like thinking about these old games is genuinely making us like I remember that funny thing that happened. Like, oh my god, childhood.
Yeah,
things were different.
But we grew up playing Scrabble, so that would be not my obvious choice.
I mean, it's, I didn't play a lot of Scattergories. Absolutely stupid to eliminate Scrabble for Scattergories, a game that I think a lot of people don't even remember existing. But I cannot in good conscience, like if my mom were listening to this, which she won't, she'd be like, you got rid of Scattergories? I used to, like, we would finish dinner and I'd be like, can we play Scattergories? Like, I loved it. It was like the only time we all laughed and got along as a family was because we were playing this game. That was like, I know, it was like, I mean, we, things were fine. It's just, we were all very big personalities, but in Scattergories, we could just like, it was fun. And like everybody gets to be in it for themselves, but you also get the communal enjoyment of like sharing each other's answers and laughing at someone's dumb answer. Mm-hmm. And like, it's like the game of it is almost separate to the, it's almost like a, like Cards Against Humanity. You're not really playing that to win. You're playing that to have like the discussion around what happens. Like you're kind of all like joking with each other. That was kind of like Scattergories was the early start of that where it was like, oh, it just actually leads to really interesting conversations, and then oh, who won, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah,
I think that's interesting. I think that, and certainly for like future rounds, thinking about the structure of like a board game where the goal is to win it versus a board game where the goal is to like enjoy it.
Well, let's be clear, the goal is always to win.
Well, Ashley, after this nice heartwarming moment, she's like, no, it's, I don't give a
she's like but no one wins.
Okay, so Jade said he'd move on Scrabble. I said Scattergories. Ashley, what would you move on?
I will take Scattergories, one, because I love you dearly, and it obviously brings you so much joy. But also, one other thing that kind of sucks about Scrabble that I am very guilty of is, like, you sometimes it takes forever in between moves where you're like, just go. Yeah. And if you're playing with other people, I don't think there's a timer.
There's a salt, I mean, a sand, there's an hourglass.
I don't know that there is one, but like when you start playing with someone who takes forever, the first thing you do is like, all right, 2 minute timer.
Yeah. Like, but it's always like, if you're playing with four people, by the time it like gets back, or like some people zone out, some people aren't taking it as seriously, or like, it's just, it can be a miss.
The weight class thing, look, people are going to look at it on paper and be like, you guys put Scattergories over Scrabble. But I think the weight class thing makes a difference. Scattergories, you can play with anybody and it'll be fun and funny and enjoyable. It doesn't matter. Scrabble is like, if you're playing with somebody who fucking loves Scrabble and somebody else who's like, I'll play, then it's you're playing two different games. It's very difficult. And then that person's going to get annoyed because they're like, man, what you should have done is put those two letters over here and you would have made it tough for me. Like, I think people who like a challenge, unless you have if you have the perfect person to play Scrabble with, the perfect game of Scrabble is better than Scattergories.
Yes.
But most games of Scrabble are not as enjoyable as a game of Scattergories.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
That's the right way to describe it.
Hell yeah. Let's move
Scattergories.
On. I'm so happy. I want to play it. I want to see if they have it. Because you also had those little pads of paper and you got a little pencil. Oh, God, games. Okay. Next matchup is Monopoly. I bet somebody somewhere just finally sighed because they were like, if they don't bring up Monopoly. Monopoly versus the Game of Life. Monopoly, everybody knows it, was basically about being a bad person. You would roll two dice and you move around a board and you buy and trade properties and you develop them with houses and hotels. I listened to a podcast recently where they described that this game was invented by, I believe, a woman, and then somebody stole it and turned it into Monopoly. But it was originally like this.
I think it's called a millionaire game or something like that.
Something like that. But so basically you just collect rent and you try to drive people into bankruptcy.
Yeah.
So fun game we all played.
And the other thing about this game is there was like no way to end it. Like the goal is to have everybody else be bankrupt, but you never get the way to the end.
We had a rule in our family that now I'm like, so you weren't playing the game, but I was young. I was the baby and we would play these games and we would do, you can't buy properties. It doesn't make sense now. I haven't played Monopoly in so long that I'm like, how did we play it then?
Oh, did you do the short game? Like they passed out the cards at the beginning?
I don't remember. I just remember being like, my brother would play a version with my parents. Cause I was really young when we were doing this. Doris is falling. My brother would play a game with my parents where he would put houses down. But I was like, what are these little houses for? We never use these. I think they were just making a watered down version for baby Katie instead of teaching her how to do it properly, because I wasn't a fast learner and they got very annoyed with me. But either way, we would play games of Monopoly that we would then at the end of the night have to take a big pad of paper, write down how much everybody had and where properties were. This is when we started playing the regular way, and like put that in the box and then pick it up next time. And I remember we would go months without picking it back up. And then when we did, we'd be like, ah, fuck it. Let's just start over. I don't think we ever finished a game of Monopoly.
Yeah.
I don't think
I don't think anybody like, has in the history of the world.
No, people do. People play to completion.
We both made the same face.
We both just made weird faces. I said completion. That's not the end.
That's what.
God, you guys are ruined. Don't go horny on main podcast during the yeah, people did finish, but I did. But those games just go on forever. And really, it's just like, why is that the most popular game?
There's also much cheating that goes on in that game. Like, if you're like the banker, there's so much stealing money.
Oh, that's.
Come on,
man. I don't want to play with cheaters.
Being a banker but also playing was always like, no, that doesn't, you don't get to be the banker.
Yeah.
That's not fair.
What piece game did piece you guys, for you? Yeah.
I was the dog.
Yeah, I was usually the dog or the car.
I like the thimble.
I was the dog or the thimble. So I think they got rid of the thimble.
So us.
Well, then I'm never
going to get
up again. So
and
they did get rid of the
Hasbro.
People that's were where like, I learned the tiny cup.
That's where I nobody said that. That's where I learned that it wasn't wheelbarrow. I thought it was wheelbarrow, like a barrel on wheels, because that does make logical sense. It's a sense, barrel, but on wheels. But no, it's wheelbarrow, and I learned that reading the also long rules of Monopoly. That was a game where you had to keep the book nearby. Again, I was a dumb child apparently that needed help, so I didn't get it. But what's it going up against? The game of life. Which is also a very heavy subject matter that we turned into a game. But basically, it's like you go to college, you retire, you have a job, you get married, you maybe have kids. You simulate the game of life. That was a card-based game, right?
It was. No, it had the wheel that you spun. Spin,
the spinning
wheel. The flicky one.
God, no problematic, but...
It was pretty solid. And then I have a question. How did you win that game? You just finished it. Everybody else had, like,
no,
there was
when you
no winner.
Finish, you, like, count, you get certain points for, like...
Oh, that's right. You got points for, like, having kids.
Oh, my God, I'm losing the game of life. In real life.
I remember...
Actually, you're crushing us.
I remember
kind of
realizing that it actually made more sense strategically to not go to college and to become a cop. Because anytime someone...
Wow, so it's just like real life.
Anytime somebody spun a 10, you got all this money and you didn't have to go in the debt for college. And like, man, it was... You picked your house? I forgot about all that stuff. It was so fun. You put the little pegs, like the little pink ones and the blue ones in your car.
Oh, yeah, the babies.
Yeah, you got to pick...
I didn't play a lot of life. I don't think I played a lot of it.
Both of these games are like wildly capitalist. And like just so...
I would take... So life over Monopoly because there was more to it besides just real estate, and there was more like strategy and choice. I think, I mean, I guess you could decide like whether or not to buy a property or like try to trade, but like you had more control over like the choices that you made in life. I really liked life.
I think if you're picking the best game, like if that's the goal of the thing, to just like Monopoly is like everywhere. It was like the most popular board game in the history of board games, question mark? I don't know. I'm talking out of my ass, but that feels right.
I think
to
it is.
To say that like the game of life beats Monopoly is like, oh, that's tough.
If you had to pick one to play right now, which one would you play?
If you're overanalyzing it, I don't know, because I think I'd play life because I don't remember
playing
it. I think I would play Monopoly.
But I'll play Monopoly because I think I'd look at it differently now. Our parents had a fucking unfair advantage at Monopoly because they were old.
They were living
what mortgages were. That's why as a kid, I didn't I'm like, what do you mean a mortgage? What do you mean rent? I don't know what that is. I'm a child. What?
You have to also, pay like, to rent, live? Rent was $22, which is what it was like when they were kids, but not for us.
Also, the McDonald's Monopoly. That was a part of all of
that. Oh, that was
fun. Now we know was a fucking scam.
Yep. I mean, we probably should have known that.
I remember going to McDonald's and being like, I'm going to win this. Those.
Every time my dad got Park Place, he was like, I'm one away. I'm like, Dad, they give everybody Park Place. It's Boardwalk. You can't get. That's the point. They want you to think you're one away, but you're never, ever going to get Boardwalk. And now we know it's because the mafia or the mob or whatever was involved.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on, which one? Monopoly or the game?
I'm voting for life.
Monopoly.
Oh, man. We are bad at this.
No, that's the whole point is like discussion and a debate.
I think life is problematic. I think it's more problematic than Monopoly. Like,
Jay, you are so woke that you're asleep on this podcast so far today.
I really think that it's like, like, I remember now, like, don't you get a salary depending on what career you get?
Yeah.
And that like, affects how
much. That's not problematic. So, like, that's the game of life, baby.
Yeah, so if you go to college, you have an opportunity to get a higher paying job,
which actually isn't real anymore.
But you have debt that you then have to pay off. So,
it
like,
kind
you,
of is good preparation. The cop thing, we don't like it, but, you know, they wrote that into the game for a reason. Every time someone does something that has nothing to do with you, you get a little benefit. Hey! Also, all your friends cover for it. You know, it's like a whole thing. What were the different the occupations you could choose?
I'm going to look them up.
I remember painter.
Was celebrity one of them?
I think so.
Like, maybe it was movie star?
Movie star.
I would like to see them remake the game of life with updated careers that are like YouTuber, porn star.
Podcast producer.
Yeah, podcast producer.
So the game simulates a person's travels through his or her life from college to retirement with jobs, marriage, and possible children along the way.
You got points for kids too, right?
I don't know if you got points for kids or if you just decided. Wow, this is like an actually a much older game.
When's it from? Because at the end, I forgot, women have to take 70% of their salary and they give the 30% back. That's how it ends?
Right. Yeah, totally.
I'm just kidding. You can only play as a man. There's just like no option.
You had to decide if you were getting like insurance policies and stuff. I forgot about all of this. And there was like stocks and like, this was a good lesson. That's so interesting.
I almost feel like we're saying Monopoly was too long. I feel like I don't think I played that many games of life, but I don't think that they should have lasted longer.
Life was, short because it was like it wasn't like a loop.
Is it a road?
Yeah, it's a road. It was a road and then you get to the end.
I feel like if they had made it more like Monopoly and you could just live and play out your life, that makes more sense to me than like, oh, I'm at the end of the road, so I retire or whatever.
That's really funny.
It's like Monopoly in terms of like investments and decisions, but Monopoly, like you said before, is mostly about property. It's not really about like, where'd you get that money?
I do think that Monopoly is more strategic.
Yeah. Life
was like you spawned and that was what decided.
How do your decisions in the game of life, Ashley, how do those affect other people playing with you? In Monopoly, you buy property and then anybody who lands there has to pay you money. Like it affects the other, like there's an economy of it. Whereas in the game of life, you're making these decisions. Does it affect anybody else or is it just like the goal is to end with the most money?
I think it's like you all kind of do your, you can get a PhD and get a promotion. I forgot about all this stuff. I think for the most part, you only exchange money with other players if they're a cop and you speed. I'm pretty sure. There's got to be like,
because it makes sense. The point of the game is more like you each are playing it parallel and then at the end you compare and see who won.
I feel like maybe if there was something that went wrong and then somebody was like an architect or like if you were like getting a house and somebody was an architect, I think like they got money like every time somebody got a house. I think I can't really, I should have, I thought I like had this down and I didn't. So I didn't refresh myself.
I mean, it sounds like an interesting game. I am saying I would like it to be updated to now. So it's like you pull a card and it's like, you got me too'd. So move back five spaces. Move back five spaces, but then move up 10 because it ends up.
Everybody forgot.
I think judging by the Wikipedia page, it looks like there is an updated, version. I'd be really curious to play with like a lot of different jobs.
You're trending on Twitter, you know? Have you been canceled or did
everybody you die? Thinks you died?
Yeah. This is interesting. I mean, I think that's interesting. It sounds like an interesting game. It's tough to not pick Monopoly, though.
Well, that's your decision.
Why is it my decision?
Because Jay picked Monopoly and I picked Life, so it's up to you.
Going based on my personal experience, I've played Monopoly a lot more than I've played Life. I think the concept of Life is interesting, but I can't speak to like, oh, I had so much fun playing it, because I really think I only played it like once. And also it's stressful.
Like, 'cause you have to make decisions.
Well, it's stressful. You have to make decisions about whether or not you have kids. And then when the game is over, you're like, oh, fuck, I also have to go make decisions about whether or not I'm going to have kids. Like, it's just, you're making the same decisions that you're making. Life isn't a game.
I think as a kid, you know how like little kids play in the kitchen or like play doing laundry or like taking care of like babies, like yeah. their dolls. I think that's the kind of, it's kind of more fun. When it's, all speculative and like look ahead and like not real. Obviously the game of real.
Yeah, but I'd rather play Mash than Life.
That's so funny. I was thinking that. I was like, what Life reminds me of is like the board game version of Mash. I loved Mash. I played Mash all the time.
Mash rolled.
All the time. What did S stand for in your Mash?
Shack.
Yeah.
Mansion, apartment, shack, house.
I think it was streets. I thought it was like,
oh, wow. On the street. That's dark. That's
I think it was like homeless. I think it was mansion, apartment, shack, house. Or it was mansion, apartment, shack, homeless. I don't remember. I just remember there being one that was like, you didn't want that one. Mansion, apartment,
I think street. S was the one you didn't want.
Yeah. And then you had to list four boys you had a crush on, or girls. And then you had to list what? Types of dogs?
Sometimes dogs
like
were you in wanted,
there. Or like types of car, or like car.
Car. Place you lived.
Oh man, what a fun game. We should play MASH. And then you did you use one of these? Is that how you figured out what spaces?
That was
like
how different.
Many- no, I thought it was like somebody wrote down slashes color. And they were like, tell me when to stop. And then like however many.
Yeah, or there was like a counting system.
Yeah, everybody had a different way of like knowing what number they had to do.
Yeah.
Because I remember that where you'd be like, I'm just going to draw lines and tell me when it's like, that's stupid. That's really stupid. It doesn't make any sense.
It was pretty dumb, yeah.
Well, man, these things predict in the future, so that's how it goes.
This was like back when we were drawing those S's on our
Stussies.
It was what? Not drawn
Stussies.
That's what we it called them?
The S's with the three lines and then you connect them. Yeah. Yeah, a Stussies.
It was a brand, but that wasn't the same.
It also wasn't the logo for Stussies.
It was the Superman S was how people referred to it, but it was like, it was the S.
Yeah, it was the S. Everybody knows the three line S, but I don't think it was had anything to do. Stussy has like the umlaut logo.
Yeah.
We called them Stussies.
That's funny. Wow. We called them
different
S's,
worlds.
Super S's or something.
The S. Can you tell yes? Also, do you remember that?
Young kids listening to this are like, what the fuck are these olds talking about?
Do you remember the house that you couldn't lift your pencil and you had to do with the X?
Yeah, the barn. Yeah. The barn.
That's really funny. Yeah. I just Googled it and Wikipedia has it titled as Cool S. The Cool S, also known as the Stussy S, Super S, Superman S. Pointy S, Slayer S, Graffiti S, the S Factor, or Universal S.
And the many S Factor!
Why are those Club 7, baby.
The fact that everybody knows what it is, but everybody has a different name for it is insane.
That's really funny.
That S is like our snow, the way Eskimos have like 8,000 words for snow. It's like 8,000 words for the S we used to draw in our notebook.
Let's just call it the Snow S.
That's Jesus wild Christ. How many words we have
that's
to describe
really
that.
Funny.
How did that spread through culture before the internet? That's fascinating.
Oh,
fascinating.
I would watch a documentary about that.
I would watch a documentary about memes before the internet, because meme was a word I learned in college in a class where the guy told us to sign up for this website called Twitter because it was going to be the next big thing, which is why I've had my Twitter account for so long. And he talked about memes and it was like shared cultural touch points. And like those without the internet, fascinating, because now the word meme is like, it's everywhere. Now everybody knows what a meme is, but it's almost something different than before, which was just that it was these little things that everybody understood and recognized that existed across a culture.
Wild. That's really interesting.
Wild. Let's get to work on that documentary, Jay. You got time?
Okay.
You went to NYU.
I think you're just procrastinating.
It's Monopoly. I'm moving on Monopoly. Yeah. Let's move on. The next one. Oh, two of my other favorites. Pictionary versus Connect Four.
Wow. These are super different.
Pictionary was played in teams where it's basically charades, but with drawing, where you have to draw something and your opponent has to guess it. I'm pretty sure, and I could be wrong.
Teammates have to guess it.
That's what I meant. What'd I say?
Opponent.
Oh, sorry. I'm pretty sure I got to look it up, but I think the Pictionary version of Pictionary I had, there was almost like dry erase boards with crayon. I think you drew it on this thing and then you erased it.
I remember it on like little like notepads with pencils, but you probably had like a more environmentally friendly version.
But I can't remember. No, this was way before we gave a shit about the environment.
Right.
But I don't. Even as I'm saying it, I'm like, a crayon dry erase board doesn't make any sense. But I vaguely remember this little square that we would. Now it comes with erasable markers and boards.
That makes a lot more sense. Yeah. But there was like a board that you had to like move along.
And yeah, there was a board for Pictionary.
Certain squares that were like all play where everybody got a chance, or like, wasn't there like draw with your blindfolded or draw? Hey, buddy.
I was like, first of all, you're breaking up, but then now it doesn't matter.
Because Austin's here. Jay.
How's our butt?
Yeah, you want to come see?
Oh, Jay, I got to Venmo you $20.
Oh, Katie, I was thinking before you do that. Okay, I'm glad that we're on the pod for this. I think we should have an Austin-related bet every week until this ends.
I got to tell you, if you had bet on this week instead of last week,
don't say it. No,
like zero in the potty. It's unbelievable how much he's been crapping his pants.
So I don't think it should be the same bet.
There's my buddy. Come here.
Hey, dude.
Climb on up. He's not going to be able to hear you again.
But if we find something else to bet.
Actually, you go, Vegas, what else can we bet on?
Hey, Austin.
Louder. I know that I can only hear them in here. Here, I'm going to turn.
Can you just unplug it?
No, I'm trying to do that every time. It never works.
Oh, that's right. And it doesn't work.
Hey, hi, Austin.
Say hi.
What's up, man?
I like your sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Say thank you.
I want to show Loki.
You want to show him Loki? I saw Loki.
Loki. Is he good or is he bad? Is he good or bad?
No, he's Loki.
He's Loki.
That's actually the correct answer to the question. Because you never know.
That's true.
Don't touch that. Do you want to say anything else before you go play?
The wolf. I just realized that Loki.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love you.
And Loki are the same.
Oh, he's Loki. No,
I'm still talking to them. Hi, Steve.
This is a great podcast. Really high quality. When people are like, I love that. I'm like, cool. Let it roll.
I'm still talking.
Hey, Austin, do you want to say one more thing? What do you want to say?
What do you want to say, though? Say one more thing.
I'm still talking. That sounds like me.
Austin, tell us that you love us and you mean it.
Can you say, love you mean it?
No.
He shook his head.
No.
Listen, Steve, I'm on that team now.
Katie said, listen, Steve, I'm on that team now.
Oh, that's right. I read the internet. Come on, let's go.
Yeah.
You can sit here with me if you want.
Are you already quiet?
Yeah, you can sit here if you want.
I'm not going to be Ashley.
Can I watch TV?
You can watch TV in the living room.
Yeah, let's go. Come on.
Bye, Austin.
Bye, Steve.
Say bye-bye. Here's Black Panther.
So we got to think of a good Austin-related bet. We can just go double it.
Yeah, Ash, what do you got? You're the gambling. You're the Vegas right now. Set the line. Pick the bet. Offer it up. We'll give you the big or whatever it's called. You get to keep some of it.
I'm gonna have to think about it. Because it's all like,
all right,
is he going to throw an insane temper tantrum? Is he going to poop in his pants?
We don't want to be rooting for that.
No,
rooting for him
no.
to poop his pants is fun for me.
It's like, will he say the word Batman?
He said,
"Well, she can she can fix. It's kind of like prop bets at the Super Bowl. Like if somebody talks to Lady Gaga, she could go long on that anthem. Like it's just insider
information. That's true.
Huh. All right, just think on it a little
bit. Think on it. I don't really come back to it. I don't know off the top of my head.
Back to the bracket.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish we'd gotten Austin's thoughts, but we are doing Pictionary versus Connect Four. Connect Four was a vertical board.
Of the board games.
Vertical board. And you had black pieces and red pieces, so it almost looked like checkers, except it wasn't. It was basically tic-tac-toe. But you had to get four in a row.
Yeah.
That was fun. And got real contentious.
Mm-hmm.
I had a real fight over Connect Four.
The most satisfying ending, the like slide of the and then the
pieces fall. Yeah.
Big Connect Four is a theme at those outdoor bars too. You know, like when you go out.
Very Brooklyn thing now. Everybody has big Connect Four.
Yeah.
Why not just regular size Connect Four?
I couldn't tell you. Big things are funnier. It's just always true.
It's like big Jenga. I'm like, this actually isn't big as Jenga. Fun. I like just Jenga. The bigger the Jenga, the funnier it is.
Just the way it works.
I forgot about that.
Did we cover that on this podcast? In the meeting, Jay was like, big Jenga, always hilarious. And everyone was like, I'm sorry, may I question that? Just one step. Is it? Is big Jenga always hilarious?
Yeah, it's always hilarious.
All right. So what do we think? Connect Four versus Pictionary. Ashley, you love Drawful, which is the Jackbox version of Pictionary, essentially, kind of.
It's kind of, yeah. I think I also like Drawful because I really try to divert from playing the trivia-based games.
Yeah.
Well, Quiplash is the obvious, like, best game.
I know, Fibbage is the best game.
Fibbage is great, but Quiplash, I think, is the GOAT.
Quiplash is good if you're with people that all kind of can get the same inside jokes.
I think you need a
But in general, you could write a really funny joke and people will just be like, oh, that answer says poopy butt. I'm going to pick the one that says poopy butt. And then you're like, that's not funnier.
You got to know who the poopy butt voters are.
When we played with, like,
I'm saying you got to know the room.
10 people that time in the conference room. That was awesome.
That was wild because of who won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were like, that person is the least funny person that we know.
When there's only three people, then it's not as funny.
Yeah.
No, you need more people for that one. Fibbage is just Balderdash, which is another great game.
Yes. Anyway, this isn't what we're talking about.
Right.
We're talking about Connect Four versus Pictionary.
Pictionary needs like a lot more like focus, right? You got to corral a bunch of people. Y'all got to be on the same page. You've got a timer. You've got rules. Who said it first?
I think they're assuming you've corralled people if you're sitting down to play a game.
Have you ever played, wanted to have like a game night people aren't on the same page? Like they're distracted.
I don't think that factors into just.
And those people don't get invited back to game night.
They don't get to come to game night anymore.
I think Connect
4. Game night is a night for game.
Connect 4 is very portable. You can play it anywhere. It's two people.
I feel like you're bringing in all these weird categories that don't matter.
Connect Four is playing it.
You don't got to move.
Connect Four only has a certain amount of outcomes, and it's only two people. And it's like once you play it four times, you're like, okay, I'm done playing this. Whereas like Pictionary, you literally there's so much more. You get to draw something, and there's like lots of people shouting things, which is fun.
It is, yeah.
It's a much more exciting game.
Connect Four is a lot more exciting. Yes, Connect Four is a lot more strategic,
less portable. Less portable.
Is significantly less portable. You know, you got to have those dry erase crayons on hand, or you can't play.
Well
the most fun version of Pictionary is like if you have an easel in front of the living room and you got a bunch of people.
Yeah, the breakup version.
Yeah,
that was that movie, right? When he's like sock. He's like, it's not an earth shoe. What a shoe! Try something else. The answer was sock. we played a version of Pictionary on Cabo's Wild on FS1, shout out, with Regis, because Regis was
old,
so bad at drawing things. And so like he would get his clue and be like, oh yeah, got it, and start drawing a thing, and we just were like, what? Like I remember he drew the Stanley Cup, but it was just like three squiggles, and we were like, what is, he's like, it's a Stanley Cup, and that like that's always funny, but I could see that pissing you off, Ashley. If you're there to play a game and someone does it and they draw terribly, that's the thing about Pictionary that maybe if it goes on, it'll come up in the next round, is like, you're having a lot of infighting. We're like, you idiot, why didn't you draw this?
Yeah.
Like, you stopped at drawing, and that's why we're losing, instead of it being like, oh man, I didn't guess it. Like, you can, there's no way to assign blame. You can just fight about it till the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the drawer is like, I did everything I could, and the guesser is like, no, you didn't. And then there's just, rah.
There's also, like, people who are good at guessing. Like, you see things and can
say,
like,
I think I'm one of those people.
Yeah, you definitely are. Like, when we play Drawful, you're like, oh, yeah, because this is blah, 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 blah. Like, it's obvious.
That's why I do generally okay, kind of, at Jeopardy. Because a lot of Jeopardy is like, oh, you're just looking for what they're kind of nudging you towards. There's a lot of hints in the clue that you're like, oh, I can at least know what ballpark I can guess in. Because it's just clues. I love clues.
I never liked that guessing Pictionary and guessing Jeopardy are terribly similar. But you're
oh no, they're not. They're not. I'm sorry. We were just talking about two different things. Sorry. I thought I was allowed to go on a tangent. Sorry. Go ahead. What did you want to pick?
I have to go first.
Yeah.
I'm a bad drawer. I'm a much better guesser than drawer.
You're really good at Drawful.
No, I will concede that Pictionary is a more exciting game. But boy, do I love owning people at Connect Four. It's really fun for me.
Well, Connect Four, when you like, it's really fun to beat someone who, like, obviously lost on a stupid error. Like, if you're like,
and
like when someone
puts, like, when you're putting the thing in and they just notice, like, oh shit. Yeah. And you're like, yeah.
I love, like,
and it's almost got like steps ahead. A very physical thing of, like, putting it in, dropping it, and like, all that's great.
It is really
I love a Connect Four game, and this has happened a bunch to me at least, where you get all the way to the top and you're like, nobody wins, gotta start over. That sucks. But it's rewarding to get that high and be like, oh shit. But it also is like, oh god, it's like soccer. Like, we could spend all this time on something and it still would end up nil-nil tie.
Yeah.
Game over.
Mm. I mean, like, tic-tac-toe, there's like, you do this and you won't ever lose, you know? Or, like, if you do this, you can win. The other person just has to make a mistake. Connect Four, there's, like, so many more iterations of what those things are that you, like...
But it's still technically true.
Yes.
Still possible.
Yeah, like, you still study. You could,
I don't have it
if
memorized.
If you put in the word. But you could, like, you could study and know the strategy, which would then make it not fun for anyone to play against you.
Right.
That's why the thing with Connect Four is, like, it's fun if, again, it's kind of like Scrabble. If you're both on the same level of, like, let's just... play this. But if you're a person who's like, I know that if you start in any of the divisible by two rows, then you can, you know what I mean? Like, there's math to it.
Now that we just talked about this, I just remembered this story. This was 10 years ago. I was at a party and some dude showed up with a box of Connect Four, like at a party. And I was like, did you bring Connect Four to like a house party?
Like,
and he's like, he was like, yeah, do you want to play? And I was like, okay. He's like, but I only play for $5. And I was like, all right. And he hustled me. And then he hustled.
That's not really a hustle. He told you exactly what he was going to do, and then he did it to you.
I know. But then he hustled like 30 people at this party. That dude probably left that party with $150.
Somebody else has to be playing Connect Four, and then you go,
you just hear like music from the street.
I don't even know who that dude was. Like, maybe he was just a random guy who came in with Connect Four. I was like, I'm about to take all these people's money.
So, and he did.
Anyway.
He didn't even have to do the hustle part. He just had to be like, can I play you? I'm going to smoke you. I brought my own. And you're like, all right.
Yeah.
The guy who goes up to a pool, like a guy at a pool hall who has his own cue. And he's like, screwing it in. And you're like, you want to play? And then later he hustled you. That guy was there to play.
Beat you. Yeah.
You walked into it and he beat you.
Yeah, I got hustled in Connect Four. I'm willing to admit it.
That's all right. Okay. So we've got Connect Four versus Pictionary and we still haven't made a decision.
I think we all kind of said Pictionary.
I vote for Pictionary. I think it's a better game.
How about this overall? Board game. What's the board in Pictionary?
There's a board, and you like your team is
how
the one
do you
that
move around it.
It's like everyone you get, I think you get a space, and then your team once you get around the board wins.
Play without it.
Isn't there a dice?
There might be a dice. I can't remember.
There's
definitely a board,
and I'm pretty sure there's also a die.
Is die the singular or the plural?
Singular.
Yeah, so why'd you both say a dice?
I don't know, because we made a mistake.
Oh, but Ashley, you don't.
I make a lot of mistakes.
Jay, I understand.
Constantly, literally all the time.
I just feel like the board is secondary in Pictionary. Like, you could play without it and just be like, it's 2-1 instead of being like, I'm two spaces ahead of you.
You don't need the board for Pictionary, whereas you absolutely need the board.
You
get the
best board. You do. Like, you are going to the end. And, like, if you...
Yeah, but is there any way that you move on the board that is dictated by anything other than getting... Is it one space for every one you get right?
No.
In which case, you're just keeping score.
No, I think it's if you go and you get... If you get yours right, you keep going until you get a group one, and whoever wins the group one then takes over. I'm pretty sure there's a dice to start it. Or, like, where are the rules? But like, the squares are a different color, and that dictates which version you're doing. Whether
Yeah.
Like, I think in here it says it's person, place, animal, object, action, difficult, or all play. So if you get it wrong, clockwise, next team gets to go. Or if it's an all play, then whoever wins gets to go.
Looking at this board makes me realize how much Cranium basically, like, took Pictionary and then just added in three different.
Yeah, Cranium is incredible because it's a combination of a bunch of games. It's amazing.
I'm just going to say, I've already recognized that I don't, we played games weird at my house. I think we played Pictionary without the board. I think we would just pull the stack of cards out and I'd be like, I'll draw something for you. You guess on a timer and then you draw something for me.
Yeah, you can definitely do that. I think that just means that the game is more malleable.
Does that bother us in terms of, like, picking board games, that we pick a game that you really wouldn't, you don't need the board? Every other game we've picked so far, you can't play without the board.
No, if you put it in the bracket. If it made the bracket, then that shouldn't be why we picked it.
All right. So we pick Pictionary?
We Pictionary.
And eliminate Connect Four. Man, the hipsters are going to be pissed.
That guy who hustled me is real mad, too.
Again, just beat you. Just flat out beat you. Said to you, I'm going to beat you. And then he beat you.
Also, I'm going to beat you and you're going to pay me.
Oh, my God. Pay? This next one is the hardest of the whole bracket. This is my childhood.
Oh, wow.
In one matchup. Ladies and gentlemen, I love this theme song.
Why were they wearing leather gloves?
They were definitely wearing leather gloves.
Yeah. Also, the point of this game didn't really make any sense, but we'll get to that. So this is Crossfire versus Battleship. Two games that I would play against my brother and he would just kick my ass. He would hustle me. I'll be honest. He would hustle me by telling me he was going to beat me and then absolutely wiping the floor with me. So Crossfire. Oh, that's right. There was the puck in the middle.
Two pucks.
So
right?
Crossfire had. Yeah.
Like two little ball bearings in the middle, like little silver things that you would shoot and they would ricochet in different directions.
One was a triangle. Yeah, the goal of the game. Wheel.
Circle, spokes. I thought. Oh, no, it was a star.
Those are the pucks. Star. But then there was like a thing in the middle that would like let them deflect into different ways.
Anyway, the point is you've got a gun and you just fire these little pellets at these puck things to try to get them to move into your opponent's goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you're just shooting guns at each other, essentially. Battleship was, you have a grid, I have a grid, and it's hidden. You can't see what's going on. You arrange multiple ships on your grid. So you've got the part of the grid that's that's flat, and then you get the part of the grid that you're looking at. So it's almost like, you know, a TV or whatever. But the part of the grid you're looking at is where you keep track of what you're guessing on the... So you'd be like, A4. And they would locate on A4 on their grid. And then if that's where their ship is located, they would say hit. And then you would put a little red peg on your side of the thing so you could keep track. The goal was to blow up all their ships.
Hmm. Yep.
I think everybody knows how to play.
It was fun.
I could have read this little thing you wrote here. Played on ruled grids on which each player's fleet of ships are marked. Thanks for writing, including battleships. The locations of the fleets are concealed from other player. Players alternate turns calling shots at the other player's ships, and the objective of the game is to destroy the fleet. Yeah. That game's fun.
Game is fun.
Still fun. I have it. It's here somewhere in my house. Crossfire was fun because it was like Nerf guns were big, and this was like, ooh, these are metal pellets. Like, this is like more badass than a Nerf gun, but it's also controlled. But it was just a mess.
It was kind of, it kind of reminded me of like, it was like more adult Hungry Hungry Hippos.
Yeah.
Like, there was just a lot going on. Like, things were shooting back and forth, and you were just like pushing buttons to try to win.
Basically, it was like Rock'em Sock'em. I'm just like, the point was like, I just do this a bunch.
Yeah, that, I'm going to be honest, that's why I didn't really like it. It was just a lot of smash.
Well, that makes sense. You were a smart nerd kid.
I was a smart nerd kid. Yeah, and I feel like with Battleship.
I like the lightning in the commercial.
It wasn't even, there was lightning in the commercial.
I was like, ooh, neat, badass. My brother likes it, so I like it. As a game.
Leather gloves.
Fingerless leather gloves.
I feel like the reason I liked Battleship was so much is because there was strategy not only in like where you placed your ships, but also in like where you guessed and in understanding the psychology of your opponent and like where they would place them and where they were like likely to guess.
Yeah, if you could keep track of like there's, I still have their four, because like some ships were like four pegs long and some were like two pegs long. Mm-hmm. And so you had to keep track of it so you could be like, oh, should I keep guessing in order?
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes you'd stumble into finding out they put two ships back to back. And so it was like, oh, there's even more. Like it was I love Battleship. Yeah. It was like strategy for dumb people. Also for smart people, but like it was accessible to people who were like, I don't want to play Risk. I don't want to play strategy games where I have to like move my armies and I'd want strategy, but like basic, challenging, but basic strategy.
Yeah, agreed.
So
it's Battleship.
I think Battleship.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, Crossfire, again, it's like Mousetrap had the better commercial, but we move on.
Here's the thing. Crossfire and Mousetrap needed those commercials to sell units.
Yeah. Yeah,
Battleship didn't need it.
I would play Battleship right now if I could.
I have it. You can.
For sure we could play.
I mean, I guess we could just, we could figure out a way.
We're supposed definitely to narrow this down to the final four before we
There's
go to an ad.
There's definitely digital Battleship.
We might have
too.
To do an ad now. This is a long
Yeah, let's
one.
Do an ad now.
We'll do an ad and then we'll narrow it down. Oh, we only have two ads today.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you going to make me sing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It went so badly last week.
I think you should do, I think you should play it on your
At least the music was timed up this time.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't listen to it back. Did you time it up? Did it work?
Yeah. We fixed it.
Okay, so we can do that again?
Yeah.
Okay. Can we do more of like one that I can do an impersonation of, Ash, so it's less about singing and more about sounding like somebody?
Can I make it a topical celebrity?
Yeah.
Cool. Because I don't know if you've seen
Nice.
Not because of the political stuff she's doing, but because of the Tiger King connection. Let's go with Britney Spears.
Oh, my God.
We've already done Baby One More Time, so let's do Oops, I Did It Again.
Okay. Not the video that Doc Antle helped with, but still a better song for an ad read.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Oh, God. And yeah. Oh, God, you guys can see me. I just remembered. Chords, chords, like...
Okay, you don't have to...
Still ever feel like you're always on, like you need to hit the reset button to get what's ready for what's next. My favorite way, chill is simple. I just crack open a phone tonight. There's only one beer out there. That's literally make you chill. Ooh, that's chords like the mountains on the bottle and can't even turn blue when your finger is cold. That way you always know when it's time to stand in a room. I lost my spot in the ring. When you need to hit reset, just open. Course light, it's mountain cold, your breath meant made to chill. These days everything is go, 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 go. Non-stop wrestle has taken over and it's just kind of a lot.
There's work, friends, family, and a million pressing social issues, and an expectation to be on all the time. It's the pace of things, it's wearing you down, take up. This is the longest ad read we've ever done. Pause, refresh yourself. Yeah. Also, Jay, your internet's bad now, so the song's skipping. So, I mean, we're screwed. But
I wish I couldn't see you doing this.
Coors Light is brewed with a three-step cold process. Cold lagered, cold filtered. But I thought the cold package was so it's actually made to chill. Aw, the mountains on Coors Light's cold activated. Bottles and cans, all turn blue and chill to perfection. Born in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado, 1978. Coors Light is refreshing, crisp, and only 102 calories. That's what Coors Light is, and it's why I choose it. When I need a moment of chill, so when you want to reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Have a Coors Light. This song doesn't end. You can get it delivered, by the way, which seems kind of important now, if you go to CoorsLight.com and find local delivery options near you. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Just end it, honestly. Here's what made that weird. Not as if you need it explained, but number one, we decided to do this podcast today on Zoom while the using the other, so we can see each other. I obviously have to keep the doc open because that's where the ad copy is. Ashley and Jay can see me right now. I can't see them. I can't see myself. Also, my boyfriend's here and, he can hear everything I'm doing. So everything about that I hated. Also, Jay, we don't have to talk about it, but multiple typos in that ad read. Oh, wow. And like,
really?
I'm going to bring it. I'm going to need you to bring it as well.
Wow.
There were repetition. There were parts where it was like, we definitely already said that. We could have taken that out. Okay. That last paragraph there says, that's what Coors Light is, the one I choose when I need a moment of chill. And you might think that I could fix that on the go. And sure, I could if I wasn't, I think, also singing and impersonating Britney Spears. Again, I'm not mad. I just want the people to know that that we're all doing.
I do apologize. I don't.
Okay. I don't want your apologies. Look, they sent it over with a mistake in it.
They did. Okay. And gosh, it won't happen again.
That's okay. I know it won't. I thought the old lady dropped it into the ocean in the end.
Little baby, I went down and got it.
I forgot that part. I just said, "Ah, oh, you shouldn't have."
That was great.
Remember them making the video of that?
Yeah.
In 5, 4, 3. Anyway. We are now in the top 8.
Yeah.
Okay. Are.
First one, Checkers versus Guess Who.
Okay.
Now, one is a timeless classic. The other is a game classic that was really fun then, but I bet is bad now.
Wait, Guess Who is bad now?
I bet.
No.
Yeah.
So I went
the same 24 people every time.
It's just like, oh, does he have a hat on?
There is a brewery near our apartment that in a previous life, we brought Austin to several months ago, and they had a bunch of games, and Steve and I played Guess Who with Austin, and it was so much fun. I think it is like, there's a limited number of questions and it does get repetitive. Like, you know, as soon as you pick a card, like, I'm screwed. You're like, my guy's got glasses or I have a woman. And then you're like, if you have a woman, you're just, but there is a strategy in life. If you answer, like, is it a woman? And the answer is no, like, you wasted a question on that. But if the answer is yes, then all of a sudden you have like 4 people left. You know what I mean? So you just have to, you're like,
yeah, I just think that with the same 24 people every time, you'd start to get like, oh, I know this pattern of answers, it's going to be
scary. I would much rather play 20 questions or the game where you put the person's name on your head and you don't know who you are.
Yeah. A completely different game, Jay. A completely different
They're kind of the same because you're asking questions about trying to narrow down.
You're trying to figure out who you are as opposed to trying to figure out.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. I loved Guess Who. I used to get so excited hanging out with my friends who had Guess Who
I think because I just really liked a weird board. Like, I liked that it had its own specific thing you had to use in order to play it. But, and again, never played checkers. Don't know how to play it. But it feels weird to eliminate a game that's like...
You never did like a double jump? You don't remember double jumping?
I don't know what that is. Double jump. I've done a triple jump. Yeah! Wahoo! Yay!
Nice.
In Mario 64.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's a good feeling, a double jump. It's like when you have... Because checkers, the goal is to basically... The way you get rid of the other team's guy is by jumping over them.
I like that when he calls it guys, like they're action figures.
He's so sexist. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Gals. The way you get the other team's gals. By slipping something in their drink. What's up, Jay?
Oh, boy.
What did you say?
Checkers is great. Let's
What were you saying? You were saying something. Sorry.
So basically it's diagonals, right? You're trying to, you can move your pieces diagonally. And if there's a space, if there's your player and then their player and then a blank space on the other side, and these are three diagonal spaces in a row, when you jump over their player, that gets rid of their player. Now, if
I actually stopped in the middle of that and started thinking about something else, and I just realized he was only talking to me.
Yeah. You jump over RJ, other pieces, and that's how they get eliminated. Okay.
And that's how they get eliminated.
I think the argument for checkers, the only argument that you need is that it's a concept that's so unique. You could play it with anything anywhere. It's just this concept. It's like tic-tac-toe. It's like it's a game that other games were going to be based off of, but it's just the concept of the game. Like Mousetrap, you literally needed to buy the Mousetrap, the thing, the other thing. It's almost like teen movies where like when you boil any of them down and you realize they're all just Shakespeare, they're all just like this basic type of story that then they just put all these little flourishes on to make them all different. Mm-hmm. Like checkers is the Shakespeare. And then like the other version, not chess, chess is obviously Shakespeare too, but like other games that are based off of, you know what I'm saying?
What other games are based off? Checkers.
I just mean it's like its basic concept isn't used on anything. I'm kind of saying two different things, I think. But you know what I'm saying? It's like this is just a game that is understood and doesn't need bells and whistles. Yeah. It's just like it's a strategy. This is the point of it. But you don't need to have like you draw a picture and then this person guesses the picture. There's not really any variables other than just like decisions that you make.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
I don't know. I just think it's like a pure game.
It's a classic board game.
Yeah. It's not like Trouble, which is like Sorry, which is like Parcheesi.
Right.
It's just like it's... You don't need any of those other things. It's just a... But at the same time, I've never played it. I don't think I'm ever going to play it. And I think it's boring.
Oh, it's super fun.
Strategic. I'm very bad at strategy.
But it's light strategy. It's not like... It's less strategic than Monopoly because you're like moving a guy and you're like, where's the blank space next to their guy?
Damn.
Sorry. That's how I refer to them. I don't know why.
I don't know. I disagree. I think checkers can be super strategic. If you play with someone who's really good at it, like they're just going to wipe the floor with you.
You could tell Ashley just got her ass kicked in checkers.
No, I kicked.
I disagree. I think you could really get your ass kicked.
No, but like that's what I mean. I was clearly taking it way more seriously and like I stomped him and it wasn't like fun.
It's like a soccer team playing a shitty soccer team and they're like, cool, we got the win, but I don't want to play. Yeah. I want to play against somebody who challenges me.
Right.
Yeah, skill level, this is sort of like the weight class argument. Yeah. Skill level in checkers makes a difference, whereas in Guess Who, it's kind of an even playing field.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, games I would play, if you gave me the option to play Guess Who or checkers, I'd say Guess Who.
I think that's what we have to ultimately go on. If we're saying what's the best board game, like, what board game do you want to play the most?
Yeah, Guess Who wins.
Wow.
We're not, this isn't like the E60 podcast. We're not, like, smart. We're fun.
Yeah, we're Guess the cool who? Podcast.
We're the dumbass podcast. All right, so the next one is Clue versus Trouble.
Man.
I don't want to, like, play my hand too much here, but boy, do I feel passionately about Clue.
So here's the thing. I don't think I ever played Clue.
Really?
I know that I understand the concept of it, and I've been to, like, Clue parties. I don't know that I didn't own it. I may have played it a couple times.
So you have like a pad that has all of these little combinations that you can like cross off or list when someone is asking questions. So effectively like that the pads were really fun. I remember that like being a fun part of that game. Is that like someone would be in the parlor room and they'd be like, is it Miss Scarlet with the wrench in the parlor room? And you'd have all those options. And then like, if there was one of them, you would eliminate it. And then like, you would basically start to see like, okay, because you also have cards that no one else knows about. And so you would know like, oh, I know it can't be these options.
Mm. So I think,
oh, I remember that. It was like eliminating stuff. That was really fun.
So I think it's not only like you're trying to figure out the elements of the murder that was committed. You know what it's not based on the cards in your hand. And like, you're also, aren't you asking someone else? Like you're saying, is it Scarlet in the library with the wrench? And then if they say no, they have to show you a card proving why it's not that combination.
So if you ask it to the table, right? So let's say the three of us are playing and I say, is it Miss Scarlet in the parlor room with the wrench? You all look at your hands and it goes left to right. So Katie looks at her hand. If she has either Scarlet, wrench, or parlor room, she passes it to me but does not show Ashley. Yeah. And then I see what it is, make my mark on my page. And then that was a big part of it too, because you'd have to like hide where you're marking because all of the pages are the same. So you wouldn't want other people to
find
out.
So you have to keep track of like who shows stuff when and who's guessing what. And like,
exactly.
Then do I take the card back?
But the other thing is that if Ashley also has a reason why that doesn't work, if you answer it, she doesn't have to show me. Only one person per round shows you the answer of why it wouldn't be that. So Ashley might also know like, oh, I also have the wrench, so it definitely is not that, but I won't find that out for another couple turns because I asked.
Yeah.
You had
to kind of approach it as like, I'm trying to figure out if like Katie, who is the person next to me, has the parlor or not. I think she does. So I might say the two cards I have in my hand that I know it's not, just to see if Katie has the parlor. Or just to like see if, you know what I mean? Like you have to be strategic.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, that's smart. Yeah.
Plus the little pieces are really cool.
It's really a fun game.
And the little pistol and all that stuff.
The thing that's actually the most frustrating about Clue is the board. Like the getting from one room to the other room was always the most frustrating part of the game.
It's going up against Trouble, which had kind of a walk to this part of the bracket because it went up against its brother. But so Trouble was, you started with pegs. I believe it was four. They were all at home. Yeah. And then you would have to, the goal was to get them around the board and back home. There was dice inside. Now I'm not fucked up. Inside of a pop-o-matic, and other players would be go. And if you play with two people, you would each pick two colors. Right? Because like you had to get all the, or you could, but it was like red, yellow, blue, green, I think. And you could be like, I'm red and yellow and you're blue and green. And you have to like, or you can just, I don't know if that was like a weird house rule thing that we did.
I think that was a house rule. One color per team.
Oh, okay. So we did it advanced, but that's fine. Not everybody is as good at it. So you have to, the strategy comes down to when you decide to like take a player like a peg out, or if you want to advance a peg that's already out. There were some people who would do like, I want to get one peg all the way around and then bring another peg out. There were some people who would be like, I want a peg out and then another peg out. But if somebody on the other team lands on your peg, you have to start back at home. Mm-hmm. You could be right there, and then you would have to hit the exact number to get into a slot in your home. So you could be like popping and not moving, and someone could come around and bop you, and you had to fucking start. That would be the most infuriating thing. It happened to me all the time. But it was like a very simple game, but that was just like, is actually wildly fun to play.
Yeah. Mostly because it's problematic.
Like after, But also like after all the detail you guys just went into about Clue, I'm like, that is so awesome, and it's not fair that it would lose to Trouble. But Trouble was like, so basic, but so fun.
No, Trouble's great.
Yeah. Trouble's a lot of fun. Clue definitely takes a lot more thinking, a lot more concentration.
Trouble's fun if like you're watching a movie and playing a game. Yeah.
Trouble's a little bit more mindless. Yeah.
Like people do entire parts. People don't play Clue at game night. They have a Clue night.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
Like you have a game night and you'll be like, oh, we're going to start with Pictionary and then we'll play Trouble and then we'll whatever. Like, but if you're going to play Clue, you're like, we're having a Clue night, a Clue party.
Yeah, or there's like murder mystery games that are like Clue that people will play at parties like
but
that.
But you're not being like, let's go from the game of life to Chutes and Ladders to Clue.
Yeah, Clue is like a class in its own.
Yeah. I think that makes it move on. I mean, I didn't play that much of it, but even just listening to it, I'm like, oh, that'd be really fucking fun to do.
You'd be so good at it. How many people do you think can
play it, though? I would be.
You can play with like six people, I think.
But how little can you play with? This is why we never played it. We had two kids in our family, so we didn't play with two people.
I think you can play with two.
I feel like I don't think you can.
No, three maybe?
Because you wouldn't be able to do that thing where you show me a card and I hide it from the other people. It would be just me and you. And we would know all the same information.
Completely. 3 to 6 is what it says. Yeah, it 3 to 6 players.
Hmm. I mean, that does that affect your decision at all, Ash? Because you and I have a lot of times wanted to play games that were like, we can't play this with two people. We have to bring in other people. And finding a third in a game that's like, you need three people that really, well, I know now we know, but I'm talking about like when we're at Ashley's house and it's like, Steve wants to play Fortnite. We can't play this game with just two people. Or if we get Steve to play it, he's going to play it like a person that doesn't feel like playing it.
You want to know something bananas? Steve crushes Clue. We played like it almost ruined an Easter one year because sister is so intense and loves Clue more than anyone on the planet. And Steve won 3 games in a row and she like almost flipped the table. She like couldn't understand.
Yeah, every fight that's happened at holidays, at my family for the last 10 years has been because we played a game and my brother flipped out. Or I cried once, but my brother flipped out.
There's always the person who takes it way too seriously. There's several of them in my family.
That's my whole family. My entire family is people who take it too seriously. We just all take something else seriously. So it's like whatever game we're playing, we're like, oh, keep an eye on Katie. Or like, oh, this one Kevin's going to flip out about.
Yeah. But Steve, Steve, you're like, mathematically, you shouldn't be able to know the answer. How do you know that's the answer?
He would be good at
it. He's a guy just had a feeling. He's just going with this and then blah, 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 and I won. And you're like, he's so good at it.
That is annoying when when you play we didn't even talk about that. When you're playing a strategy based game and somebody clearly is guessing, but they keep guessing right. And you're like, that's not the point of the game,
but you're winning.
You're not playing it right, but you're winning. And it's like, gah, that's so annoying. Whereas you don't get that annoyed when you're playing Trouble. You're like, you're playing it right. But you do get annoyed of just like, why do you keep fucking me? And they're like, oh, it's the Pop-O-Matic. It's the Pop-O-Matic. It's nothing to do with it's tough. I like both of these games for very different reasons.
Yeah.
This is like asking me like Doritos or a filet mignon. It's like, but I love them both. They have nothing to do with each other, but I love them both.
Yeah. I think if it came down to like, hey, a bunch of people want to play Clue with you or a bunch of people want to play Trouble with you, it'd be like, oh my God, can we play Clue? Like, it might be that it's like a more...
I also think that Clue is the sort of game that I would want to play a couple of times in a row. And I think once I play a game or two of Trouble, I'd be like, all right.
Yeah, you kind of move on from it. That's true. Yeah. All right. Clue moves on. Our next matchup, Scattergories versus Monopoly. Oh, boy. All right. I mean, I think I kind of exhausted my Scattergories bank. I've said everything there is for me to say. Like, I loved that game. I liked it because of the way it was like a game where you're competing against each other, but you kind of are just also laughing together. It's like Quiplash. It's like you're all laughing. The point is laughter, but also technically somebody wins. Monopoly, I think we've decided, though the most popular board game, really just what the fuck is that game? It's nuts.
I think it's nuts. There is a lot to be said for games where you can inject your personality. So like, whether it's like a write-in game, like Game of Things, or like, you know, how people choose to play cards and Cards Against Humanity, or like Apples to Apples, or like whatever. But like specifically with Scattergories and Pictionary, it's like you, it's not just pieces that you're moving. It's like your personality is involved, or like your skill is involved. And I think that adds like a really fun element to it. That like Monopoly is like not a personality game. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like the fun thing about Scattergories would be like, if you got the letter H and the category was like movies and everybody was like
Hitch.
But this was back then. But everybody, you see, there's always one category that you see everyone going, oh, like once you all get to that part where you realize it's actually harder than you think to find one of these. And then you get that payoff moment where everybody reads off their movies and you're like, fingers crossed, because the whole point is that like, there isn't only one answer, because if there's only one answer, nobody gets the point. So you're just like, I hope nobody else said Hitch, and like, or I hope nobody else said Houlihan's, like as a restaurant. I hope somebody said something else. And like you, it's this moment where you're like, oh, I thought I was the only one who knew that. Or like you say something and your mom's like, how do you even know what that is? And you're like, I don't know. I just heard it on a commercial. You like learn shit about each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's like this really fun, cool. Scatterwise is like a game I don't think that many people played. I don't hear about that often. That's so fun. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's really stupid. It's just like pick a letter.
I'd like to play that. It sounds fun. I don't think we ever played it growing up, but it sounds like it would be fun. I mean, I've played like
ripped to shreds because I brought it with me everywhere I went. I loved it.
Like category naming games are always fun.
Yeah, we're like your brain is playing. 5 second rule thing.
It's this, but without a 5 second timer.
Right.
I think that's what I was trying to say. Like your brain is supplying an element of the game. You know what I mean?
It's just so different than Monopoly. Right. It's such a different category of game.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you, depending on where you play it, when you play it, and who you play it with, the game pieces are almost different. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like definitely. Playing categories now is completely different than then, because like you said, you could say Hitch, but back then Hitch wasn't out and you could not think of a movie that started with H. Then you always get one person who writes down a word that they are like, I think that's a movie. But then if you press them on it and you're like, what was that movie about? And they're like, I remember we did it with somebody said Hardball, and then we were about to move on. And I was like, what's that? And then it was like, we found out it wasn't a movie. Somebody just, I think my brother just made it up.
Hardball's definitely a movie.
It was not
at the time.
Is it a movie now?
Yeah. Isn't that the one with
Hardball? Is a TV show.
No, Hardball is a movie.
No, Hardball with Keanu Reeves, I want to say.
This is the exact thing that happened at my house.
And Hardball, directed by Brian Robbins, starring Keanu Reeves. He's the coach of that baseball team.
When?
2001.
Yeah.
Yes, it hadn't. It wasn't.
Yeah, at the time.
Okay.
Here's the thing. We also didn't have Google.
Oh, man.
So back then, you had to be like, somebody had to like describe the plot and like prove that it existed. And then somebody had to like look in the newspaper and see if it was playing in theater. Like it was like it was different. You couldn't just be like, is Hardball a movie? Like you don't get to do that. That's wild.
I'm sold. I was going to be a Monopoly stan, but honestly, this game sounds like it's a lot more fun than Monopoly. Monopoly is super frustrating.
And also Monopoly's had a Monopoly on board games for quite some time now. So like it doesn't get to move on because A, it's just about charging your friend's rent. It's about making people go bankrupt and calling that winning. And it's nobody ever finishes a fucking game.
Let's talk about the like, treasure chest, though.
Obviously, yeah, that was community chest and chance were the two best parts of the game, where you just got to something crazy got to happen.
Yeah.
That's what I liked playing. I didn't like investing in homes and taking money from my friends.
Yeah, that part's not as fun. My success meant everyone else.
Yeah, everyone else you're stealing from your we used to play with my Nana, and I'd be like, "Give me your money, Nana. That sucks. That's not nice." And so, like, I don't know. I think it's – I'm not trying to get, like, so woke about Monopoly. I'm just saying I recognize its place in our culture. I recognize the importance that it had in, like, advancing board games. I don't know. All I'm saying is I would place categories over Monopoly 8 days a week. I did it as a kid. I never picked Monopoly because I was like, God, I don't have 17 hours to devote to this. But let's fire off some categories and fight about Keanu Reeves movies. Like, why wouldn't I do that?
Love
so
that.
I'm moving on to categories, and I don't – care internet. I am tired. I'm sad. I'm a little bit cold.
I'm under my covers in my bed, so I'm nice and toasty warm.
Next up, our last matchup to get this down to four: Pictionary versus Battleship.
Battle.
What are we gonna
do? That's my vote. My vote is Battle.
I think I vote Battleship.
Yeah, you do.
We have fun here.
Yeah, you do. Battleship is the sort of game where like, if I like, or like, if I show up at an Airbnb and they have some a game closet and they have Battleship, I'm like, hell yeah, they have Battleship. If they have Pictionary, I'm like, I don't know, once a year.
Ash, we got to understand, this is a thing I think you and I, we miss this a lot with Jay because we don't live this life. Jay's got like a network of friends.
Yeah.
And like they plan trips together. Like he's now in Virginia just with some friends at a we don't have that. I'm like, what do you mean you're going to an Airbnb? I do that for a bachelorette party, but I never do it again. Like I don't. Yeah, he just has a lot of friends.
Oh, weird.
I don't have a lot of friends. I have like 7 specific.
That's a lot of friends. 7 is a lot of friends. I have
They're the best.
2, and one of them is we work together. So like I don't. I have like 3.
Yeah, I also work with you, Katie.
I have 3 friends.
I said I had 2. I didn't name any names. I have like 3 friends.
Yeah.
3 friends that could, I mean, I have friends that like Diana and Mina, like they're friends, but I'm not like, hey gals, you want to get an Airbnb and play Battleship? Like that's not, we're not doing
God,
that.
What a ton.
I would love to do that. Diana would be like, she'd be like, lose my number. I don't want to do this. But so it's Battleship versus Pictionary, and you're saying you wouldn't play Pictionary.
No, I think Pictionary you see everywhere and you're like,
it's involved.
It's just, it takes so much setup just to even get into it.
And if
then
you have no artistic talent, then you're really like, that person either says they don't want to play, which then ruins the mood. And you either have to decide if some people are going to break off and play a game while this other person doesn't, or they play and they end up sucking and it ruins the mood anyway. I think Battleship is like the even playing field we're looking for.
Yeah. Battleship
I love Battleship. Great. Oh my God. We all agree. We're moving on Battleship. Okay. Great. So
the final 4.
Here we are in the final 4. Dun, 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 dun. Ash, what?
That was amused, Jay.
Jay, did you just drum roll?
No, that was a lie. She just framed me. She hustled me.
I wasn't. You knew you were smart. You knew I was looking at a doc. You could tell by my face. You knew I wasn't looking at the camera. Okay, the final 4. First matchup. Guess Who versus Clue.
Wow. Clue.
Both guessing games.
Guessing who did something. Right. Clue is just guess who, what, and how. Guess who, where, and how is the alternate title for Clue.
It's guess who versus guess who, where, and how.
That is what Katie literally just said. Yeah.
Literally what I just said.
I know. I was repeating it for emphasis. Because
he's
was
a
good.
Man, and so people would listen. Man.
Yeah, I wanted people to hear it.
Guess who, where, and how. So I guess based on that, you got to give it to the one that has more layers to it. It's kind of like you guys were saying, if we had Cranium in this game, it combines 3 games. Yeah. So it's like, obviously, if Clue is just guess who, but with more things to guess, it's the better game.
Yeah, I think so.
This is where matchups matter. You know, if guess who were up against what beat Clue or what did Clue beat?
Trouble. Trouble would be.
So if it were guess who versus Trouble. Trouble might beat Guess Who, but you can't have Guess Who versus Clue and be like, I really like the way you only guess one thing. And you have to, the only argument that you can make is, and maybe this is worth discussing, Guess Who you can only play with 2 people.
Mm.
And Clue you can only play with 3 or more people. So it's almost like Guess Who was Clue for like smaller families.
Yeah. And I think it's a lot easier for younger people. Also, if you don't like, if you want to play something but not like think that hard,
thank guys. So younger guys,
yeah, just younger guys, dudes, who want to play games. Like sometimes you just want to like, if you don't want to concentrate, if you want to like drink and not
game boys,
like really focus. If you don't want to get out like a pen and paper and you're just like drinking and having fun, like you can.
You don't get out a pen and paper when you're drinking and having fun.
I always do, obviously.
I know you do. That's why I asked.
I'm obviously
it's not fun unless there's
up
a clipboard.
It's an audio medium.
Ashley, you should make Ashley a teacher that says it's not fun unless there's a clipboard.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I'm very much a Clue person. There are people who are just like, I don't want to think that much. I just want to play Guess Who and have the immense satisfaction of like when you flip them all over, also when you knock them down, and when you get to do a lot at a time, and it's like,
that was the argument for Crossfire, right? It's like, I just get to push a bunch of buttons. Yeah. It's like,
no, it's a little bit different. Eliminating meant that you like, oh, I get to do, and then your person watching it and you're like, oh, crap. Oh, they just ruled out everything.
Yeah.
And Yeah, Crossfire is just both of you all the time being like, who's going to win? There's not really any strategy. But somehow Kevin always won. My brother always won. Jerk.
With those fingerless gloves.
So yeah, I think the whole point is I think we have to pick Clue. I think this matchup, guess who can't win it? It's just a cheaper version. It's a watered down version of Clue. Yeah. So, crazy. I did not think Clue was going to get this far. And then the other matchup in the final four, we have Battleships
categories
versus categories.
Wow.
We're all just breathing.
It's a good pod right there. Categories versus Battleship.
Man, so this is, I think I really just narrowed this down to games we played in our house. Well, except Clue. Clue did not. these were the two big ones in the Nolan house.
Hmm.
Me, I picked Categories, and Kevin picked Battleship. Kevin loved Battleship.
Yeah.
Battleship. Man. So this is, I mean, fundamentally, it's a two-person game, again, versus like a basic Categories you could play with any number of people, right?
Yeah. And also, I don't think we've mentioned it yet, but the board, if there is one, I don't remember using it. It's kind of secondary.
Yeah, Categories, I don't, like, I never really played Categories, but I've played the, like, category game a million times. And that's just, like, one of your friends is like, okay, cereal, flavors of cereal, and you go around until somebody can't, and then.
Yeah, I think this was, like, add up your points based off of a point system. I don't remember there being a board.
Yeah.
So I don't, like, if we're looking for something to rule it out here in the final four, the board of it really isn't the important part. Whereas like Battleship is, again, if you're at a bar and it's one of those bars with board games, Battleship is always taken because it's so fun.
And it's really
cool. You
can
pay casual attention to it, but also like get really intense about it. It feels really good to beat somebody, but it also feel like you don't feel as defeated. You're just sort of like, oh man, we were so close. Play it again. Run it back.
Yeah.
Whereas like Categories is like thinking, and you have
to party game. Attention.
But you but you like not a party game in the sense of, like I'm at a bar drinking a beer, watching sports, playing this game. It's like I'm at a bar drinking a beer, playing just this game. This game is what we're talking about. This game is where our attention is. Mm. Whereas Battleship, you can be like A4. No, whoa, did you see that? Like you can casually play it while doing other stuff. I don't know if that's a point for or a point against. I'm just trying to get the pod to 3 hours.
I think that when you say, like for me at least, if it was like, hey, want to play a board game, I would think of Battleship before I would think of Categories. Categories doesn't feel like you want to play a board game. Categories feels like, hey, I'm having a party and there's going to be 8 people and we want to play a game.
Yeah. I think it came in a box, which is why it's different to me. But then again, I'm like Cards Against Humanity, I don't consider a board game. But it seems like you're putting it more in that. Category.
I think of it more like Cards Against Humanity than I would Battleship. Battleship feels like a board game. Like Clue is a board game.
Categories.
Categories feels like Cards Against Humanity to me in that way.
That's what I just said. Are you?
No, I know. That's what I was. I answered you. Maybe there was lag.
Those just joining us, Jay is mansplaining to Katie and the rest of our audience. Categories doesn't really constitute a board game.
Which is what Katie just said. Which is what Katie just said. You
I'm
didn't
agreeing
is like, yeah. And I'm like, wouldn't you think you're doing this? Yeah. You're like, no, I'm saying that it's more like this. It's fine. I'm too tired. I'm not mad at you. You're just on vacation and I'm jealous now. I've been in this.
Not on vacation.
You are not at your house with a group of people. Near a beach?
Yeah, but I'm not on vacation.
No, he's still working.
Near a beach.
I'm working
a
lot.
We are in the epicenter. You have escaped the epicenter, which, by the way, I don't think cops should have let you do. And if this were the game of life, I'd be collecting $10 for pulling you up.
I'd have to have rolled the 10, but
you would.
Click to 10.
Thanks for your thanks. If you're just joining us, Jay is mansplaining my opinions to me and stepping on every joke with facts. He's no budding instead of yes.
I'm the worst today.
Going, no, it was if you rolled a 10, but I understand what you were trying to say. I just wanted to really comment.
I like what you're doing.
Anywhoosie, I think I'm going to take that. I think
that's true, though.
You're talking to the Scattergory advocate. Nobody loves Scattergories more than me.
I'm sorry.
Battleship.
Battleship it is.
Yeah, Battleship for me.
Oh, good. Why don't you tell us why? Just so Battleship versus Clue. Wow. I would never Battleship versus Clue.
Yeah, this is.
I gotta give Battleship. It's so funny. We spend more time. We always think we're going to do the first round quick and then go slower as it goes on. But by the time we go on, I'm like, oh, I already know. It's Battleship.
Yeah, it's Battleship appeals to a wider audience. It has, again,
it's strategic, but it's dumb strategic. Yeah. You can be strategic without having to worry about like, well, oh, technically, if you learn from what happened in ancient Rome, Jay, why are you standing in that condescending posture? What are you about to say?
No, I'm not about to say anything.
He has his hands folded behind his back while sitting in a chair, which means he's just waiting to, like, say something. That's grandpa pose.
I was listening to you. I was thinking through what you were saying. I thought it was all good. I don't need to repeat it. Everybody understood it the first time.
Everything you said so I could say it again. Yeah, what?
Just trying to remember all the points
that I said so you could make them. No, I mean, I don't know. Ashley, you're the big Clue advocate, so how do you feel about us picking Battleship?
I'm fine with it, honestly. I think, like, Clue's a lot. Battleship is, like, can be... Battleship has range, you know? Like, you can play it 10 times in a row if you want. You can play it, like, once, like, one and done. You can take turns, you know, like, winner stays, which is a lot of fun. You can have people over your shoulder, like, giving you suggestions.
Being like, oh, play teams. But then you don't know if they're, like, good hints or if they're bad hints and if you should trust them.
If you're playing the same two people again, you can, like, build off of what you just did. You could put your ships in the exact same position except for one.
Yeah,
and then the other person
that.
Thinks they're
all
in the same spot.
So rude.
And then they're like,
so
it's
rude.
Like it's endless in terms of, like, again, there's a strategy, but there's also luck. There's, like, not that much luck in Clue. It's like placing the ships is cool. Yeah. Like the satisfaction when they're like, oh, you sunk my
really
blank.
Good point. The luck thing is a really good point because, like, did you say you stuck to my
you
blank?
Sunk my blank. And then I realized.
It's fine. We can just move on. Let's move on. The luck thing is a really good point because, like, when you think about with video games, sorry, Jay, did you want to say something I can lay out?
No, you go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
Like, even in video games now, like, I've just, I got my boyfriend to start playing God of War. And in God of War, there's, like, these things you can put on your belt that will change your, whatever. You basically have to choose, like, what's important to you, defense, strength, whatever, healing, health. And one of them is luck. And it's like, that is a valuable thing in a game. That's like, if you put this on your belt, increases your luck, which means you might just get something you didn't really deserve, which is like, you might think it's not a part of a lot of games because you might think it's just luck. It just happens or it doesn't. But I love a game that kind of factors that in and it's like, yeah, you might get lucky on one. That's kind of neat. You don't really get lucky. I guess in Clue, it would be like, you can't get to a room fast enough.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
It's a pain.
And it's annoying because it's like, the person who starts in a certain room tends to win because there's like some rooms that you can use to like go to other rooms with and some rooms that you can't.
Yeah.
And so like players that start closer to the rooms where there are like secret passages just usually tend to win because they can ask more questions.
Yeah. Huh.
It's annoying. I was going to say also they both have movies. So I think we did a good job narrowing down.
I didn't. I'm just kidding. Battleship starring Rihanna.
Yeah.
Directed by Peter Berg.
Wait, isn't that also the one with...
Trust me, because it was on my list of maybe disaster movies we should watch after we finish all the what's-his-name movies.
I don't think the Battleship movie was supposed to be good, whereas Clue... Classic.
What movie? Who was in it? When was it?
The 80s. 1985, I want to say.
And nobody's remade it with all this shit. We remade Jumanji. We're not going to remake Clue.
It was 1985. They were going to remake it.
They called it Knives Out.
Did you watch it? That's the thing, right?
I did.
It's so good, right?
I liked it.
Ooh. Yeah.
She liked it not as much as we did.
You know what it is? It's like with any movie that everybody hypes up. Like, I didn't like Wedding Crashers that much, and I know the only reason is because everybody was like, you have to see it! And I went to see it, and I was like, yeah, it was funny. Yeah. But I was just, like, expecting to be blown away, whereas the opposite example of that is This Is the End, which nobody talked about. I went and saw it and was like, holy shit, this is funny. Like, so funny. It's like the complete opposite. So I think like Knives Out, I heard so many people say it was so good. I liked it. I think they did a lot of things really smart that I was like, oh, I like the way they're doing that, but not shoving that down your throat. Or like,
yeah,
the way they,
it's a good murder mystery. Anyway, yeah, Clue has been remade so many times like that because of that format. It's so fun to watch.
Yeah. Wasn't Mr. Mustard, wasn't he a person?
Colonel Mustard.
Colonel Mustard. Show some respect. Mustard. I'm sorry, Mr. Mustard.
Mr. Mustard
Esquire.
That's so
funny. All right, so the winner of the best board game is... Oh, I like how it's on a tape delay, too. Battleship! Yay!
Yeah.
That feels right.
Battleship? It does feel right. It also feels... I'm tired. Yeah. We've been doing this podcast for... I thought we'd be done by 4. We're not.
Cute. That's really cute.
All right, so we don't have any more ad reads. Jay, do we have time for one more voicemail?
Oh, I'm going to let you answer your own question.
Oh.
Hi there. This is Dan from Orlando, Florida. I had a question based off of last week's pod where Austin celebrated big time after going poopy in the potty. I was wondering what sort of small thing you all celebrate as much as Austin did there. All right. Love you. Mean it.
Hi, Dan. I love you, too. Thank you for keeping the voicemail nice and quick, but also very entertaining. My favorite part of this whole thing has been that we've gotten people to say poop in the potty.
Like, so many times.
Are like, you guys really freaked out when Austin went poopy in the potty. So my question for you, like, adults are saying, go poopy in the potty. And it's what we need. It's a silly sense of humor. It's what we need to break up the monotony of the quarantine. That being said, Dan's question was, are there any small victories that you celebrate the way Austin, we all celebrated him going poopy in the potty? It's funny because Ashley, your answer should be everything. Nobody touchdown dances better than you after beating anyone at anything. It's your favorite thing. Winning is your favorite thing. And when you win, no matter what it is, you're like, ah! Like, you freak out.
I
don't think you've ever won silently.
That's not true. I've worked very hard not to be a sore winner. Like, when we played Jackbox the other day,
doesn't make any sense.
I didn't, like, freak out when I won.
I think sore winner is when you aren't winning, but you ultimately are going to. That doesn't make a lot of sense, but I think it does. When you're like winning and then you lose a point, you get angry. And then it's like, Ashley, you're winning. That's sore winner to me. Not like winning like and stunting on everybody.
Like, oh.
Yeah. I think it wouldn't be sore. It would just be like
that's gloating.
Yeah, you're a gloating winner.
I'm not a gloating winner.
Sore winner is when you sometimes get really mad. Like when we played whatever game that was when everybody was at your old Jersey City apartment.
Oh, yeah.
Might have been my birthday, but I don't think so because when Veronica insulted me and then it like turned into this whole thing, but it was like a joke. She was trying to sound like somebody else. Remember
game
this?
Of things, yeah.
But in that game, you were winning and then something didn't get added up right and you were like, no, no. And everybody was like, Ash, chill. Yeah. You're winning.
It's just, you know, if people are...
That's sore
not
winner.
Not keeping score correctly. It's a big pet peeve of mine.
See, that's sore winner. That's sore winner. But we're talking about gloating, about like fully celebrating a really tiny thing. I think for you, it's every time you win something. Again, this is a compliment. I love the way you get so fired up when you find out you're right. It's very fun. It turns everything into a little game. Because sometimes we'll be sitting at our desks back when we worked at desks. And you'll be like, yes! And I'm like, what? And you're like, just Google the thing I thought earlier.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I think I celebrate being right. But I have actively tried not to like put someone down. And as I'm saying that, I remember.
That's not what I'm
saying. I remember like recently, though, I asked you if you had notes on something I'd done. And you said like, no, I liked it. And I turned to the staff and I was like, suck it, no notes. And you're like, did you just tell our staff to suck it? And I was like, I did do that. Yeah.
But you don't put people down.
I don't usually.
Yeah.
No, but it's also not what I meant. I didn't mean that you're like, you're dumb, I'm the best, because Austin wasn't like, fuck you, potty, I went poopy in you. Like, he was celebrating himself. He was just like, yay, I did it! Like, he was excited for him.
I think if...
Like, that's you when you find out
if I remember something, if I'm like, I think, is this? And then it was, I'm like, yes, I am the best! That's weird. Okay, yeah, you're 100% right.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Yes, I'm the best, I'm right! Jay, what do you celebrate?
Wildly enough, it was very similar just now when you were like, when did Clue come out? And I was like, 1985. And then I looked it up and it was 1985.
So Ashley's answer? So your answer is Ashley's answer?
I'm taking everybody's answers today.
Jay is Edward Norton in The Italian Job. Where he can't come up with his own thing. He just listens to other people answer it. And then he goes, yeah, I'll take a little bit of that. And a little bit of that. And a little bit of that.
That's how I'm feeling today. Honestly, I guess I don't have a lot to bring. I'm sorry. So you guys are doing great.
Jay, you're doing a fantastic job. What do you celebrate that's a small little thing?
Avoid it can be gluten for an entire day.
Honestly, sure. That's a good one. These days, really, there's everything is dark. And so, like, little things like, you know, like, if I say, like, I really want to work out later today. I know I have all this work to get through. And I get through it, and I do the workout, and then I get home. Like, that makes me feel good. Because it's like, I did the thing that I intended this morning, and it's so easy to come up with
honestly,
excuses why not.
Crossing something off your to-do list is a perfectly valid answer to this question.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I did my census. I fixed my laptop, which was like acting really buggy, and I couldn't get it to stop giving me this notification. I like Googled on my phone how to fix it, spent a bunch of time fixing it. I had to call my cable company to upgrade my internet because apparently I never knew this. There's like tiers to the internet you can pay for. And Levitard show producers emailed me and they were like, you have really shitty internet, I think. Can you look into it? I did. I fixed it. I paid for it. I got new internet. Like and at the end of the day, I was like, man, I got a lot done today. And it felt awesome. And I was like, yeah, I did it. Meanwhile, what did I do? Nothing. But it was like stuff that I had been telling myself, like, I don't want to do it. And like, I did it. By the way, the census asks you a lot less questions than I thought that it did.
Yeah, it's very basic.
I thought it would ask me, it didn't even ask like household income. I'm like, how is this helpful to anybody? All it asked me was my race.
Yep. Just counting people.
Didn't ask me how old I was. Didn't ask me, it asked me my gender and it asked me my race. And I was like, that's it.
Interesting.
Neat. Yeah. You say interesting, you know, you're required by law to do it. So
I know. I have a stack of mail I'm going to get through at some point.
The due date is tomorrow.
They never sent me mine, but I think you can get it. Minutes. You can do it online if you didn't ever get an email.
Well, they send you a code now. So you go online, you type in that code and then you can do your census.
No, I mean like they didn't mail me a census in my mail.
Are you registered to vote? Oh, that's weird. Whatever. I'm sure you'll figure it out. We don't have to talk about it on pod.
We'll do it. We'll get it done.
Oh, you just said. You just answered it.
I think it's crossing stuff off my – I was trying to think. I mean, there's a lot of stuff of like in a video game if I – like on Red Dead right now, I'm trying to get better at hunting. And so when I get an animal and it's a 3-star – I'm like, yes, like you did that.
It's so hard.
It's really because you also have to find the one that's 3-star to start with. And then you have to shoot it perfectly or else it loses a star. It's like this whole. So I celebrate those. And I celebrate. I think celebrating my own stuff is hard for me. It's something I'm learning as I get older. I'm like, I like to celebrate other people.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to be like, yay, me. And it's so much easier to be like, yay, you. So, like, that's why when Mina does something great, like, I want to talk about that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it's a lot easier to, like, compliment other people than to constantly be like, check out my new thing.
Check out our Emmy nomination that we – oh, wait, we did get one.
I was going to say, we got all the way through the podcast and have not even yet mentioned that Always Late is nominated for an Emmy because it just feels like, oh, yeah, love us. You're already listening to this. Love us. When I'd much rather tell everybody that Mariah is the most talented person in the world. And the fact that she's a fan of this podcast freaks me out because it's like when we found out about Callie, the rocket scientist. And I'm like, you shouldn't listen to this podcast. You're too smart. Mariah did a medley of the 16 songs we picked for the quarantine bracket. And I listened to it, loved it, played it for my boyfriend who was like, who is she? She's so talented. And he hates when people sing, which is, I know, we're working through it. But like, it's insane. She's so great. And I'd much rather talk about her and tell people to go look it up than be like, that's right. Well, we were nominated for an Emmy. Or tell people that nominated in that same category, NBA Desktop, friends of the pod, good friends of ours, like also great rooting for them. Austin pooping in the potty.
Yeah, you did, bud.
He put a pillow on his head. What have you done today? Fill out your census.
Oh, it's incredible.
All right, guys. On that note, I think that wraps up this week's podcast. That's it for this week's edition of Sports. I just said that. Shout out to Echelon and Coors Light. Also, like I just said, shout out to the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny. That's where you should be going for your sports fix. I know there's not a lot of sports, but she squeezes a lot of juice out of a very small lemon. I don't know. You guys. We miss sports. She's good to listen to. Go get that River Gear podcast. Also, big thanks to you guys for listening. I hope you're all doing all right. This sucks. But it's worth it. I think it's going to be worth it. And we all just got to stick together, but very far apart from one another. If you want to listen to this podcast again on a different platform, that'd be neat. If you don't, that's also neat. Self-care, you know? Listen to your heart when it's calling for you. Speaking of calling, damn, that really would have been a good voicemail transition. But I do have to say, you could also leave us a nice review wherever you're listening to this podcast. Because we read them and we love them, like this one from DJ Dashing that says, "Dancing on my own, every podcast needs a villain, and for this one, it's Ashley."
Oh! Guys, being the villain's fun.
People were upset.
I know. People I had some upset. Support.
Yeah. But speaking of calling your girlfriend, don't forget you can always
Why?
Why did it start with a huh?
Leave up a voicemail. Oh.
Reminders of Hebrew school. Leave us
a voicemail.
What?
Good.
Solid. All right. The number is 860-506-5571. I know it by heart. Not a big deal. Say goodbye, Ashley. Say goodbye, Jay.
Goodbye.
Bye. Love you. Mean it. Stay safe.
SimpliSafe Home Security is like getting commercial-grade enterprise-level security, but for your own home. Think about the security Fortune 500 companies use. They need to know police are going to be on the scene immediately. This is exactly the kind of security you get with SimpliSafe. If there's a break-in, SimpliSafe uses real video evidence to give police an eyewitness account of the crime. And that means police dispatch up to 350% faster than for a normal burglar alarm. With SimpliSafe, you get comprehensive protection for your home. Outdoor cameras and doorbells alert you to anyone approaching your home. Entry, motion, and glass break sensors guard inside. Plus, SimpliSafe protects your home from fires, water damage, and carbon monoxide poisoning. It's all monitored 24/7 by live security professionals. You can set up your system yourself with no tools needed, or SimpliSafe's experts can do it for you. And it's only 50 cents a day with no contracts. Go to simplisafe.com/Nolan today to get free shipping on your order, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's simplisafe.com/Nolan to save on home security today. Simplisafe.com/Nolan.